much about. You gotta put it in perspective.
This isn't your grandmother's Christmas party.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G.
Hey, it's Tiger. I need you to do me a huge favor. Please, God, do this for me. Can you take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and made me call. Take your name off your phone. You gotta do this for me. Just have a nice number. Take your name off your phone. My wife went through my phone and made me call. Take your name off your phone. You gotta do this for me. Just have a nice number.
And now.
Really? Have you lost your mind?
Our feature presentation.
That is a beautiful.
It is.
Beautiful song.
Nice sentiment, huh?
Yeah. Well, I like that.
You know, all bad news is better in the form of a slow jam. That's what I've learned.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's Tuesday, and we have time for your telephone calls in a moment at 1-800-520-1067. That's the number you call to get on the air for Kevin and Bean's What to Do Nephew. Speaking of Tiger, by the way, I know some are sick of it, but there is new news, late-breaking news. Do you see what's going on this morning?
Yep.
Something about a car at a hospital. That's all I saw.
It's thought, the speculation is, and Kevin, you're going to be devastated because your favorite person in the world may be in the hospital, and they think it's Elon's mom, maybe the one who was rushed to the hospital about 45 minutes ago or so.
She's my favorite person in the
world.
Is
she the one that said what happened?
Well, I don't know.
Yes.
Is that her?
That was the guess. That's right.
Yeah, the guess is some people said Tiger's mom was at the house at the time of the incident on Thanksgiving, and then some people said it was Elon's mom, Tiger's mother-in-law, the one who was out there in the scene of the crash.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So we don't know what's going on, but here's the one piece of advice I'm going to give Tiger, because Kevin and I have been there before. As bad as things get, once you start, killing a guy, it doesn't get any better. That's not the way to get the heat off of you.
I'm not sure that's what he's doing.
Well, I don't know.
I know that was a big mistake for us, but I'm not sure.
Yes.
So you're telling me that the What Happened woman might be in the hospital.
That's what I'm telling you.
What happened?
But what a legacy she left, though.
I mean, love her.
With what she's already given to America, yes. I say if she dies, go ahead and put her on a coin or something. You know, give her
Mount Rushmore.
Right. Do whatever you need to do to celebrate her.
What happened?
She gave us what's happened.
I think we need a candlelight vigil or something tonight for her.
So we don't know if that's her or not, but we do know that the ambulance came and took somebody away, and apparently a blonde woman, presumably Tiger's wife, was driving in a car behind the ambulance, so it doesn't seem like it's Tiger's wife, which, by the way, is the first thing I thought when I heard that a woman was taken to the hospital. I thought, well, that's it. He just had enough of her yelling at him.
Wow.
He took the golf club to her. That's over. But it's looking like it might be his mother-in-law, so we'll keep you posted on the...
What happened?
That lady.
Come on. She's got to pull through. That'll be our little Christmas miracle.
It was so funny.
I hope so.
Because I heard a local reporter, they put him on one of our radio stations this morning, and he had no information. He's like, oh, there are so many questions still, but we do know that a blonde woman and a black SUV, I can tell you the numbers on the SUV, they're very close to the ones that were on Tiger's car when he crashed last week, but they're off by two numbers. Oh, so many questions.
So that guy knew less than we do.
He really did.
And yet was out on camera. I love that.
That's hilarious.
His point was, I guess he was saying, yeah, it was probably almost definitely one of Tiger's cars,
I guess, is what
he's trying to get to. But
it was pretty funny.
They stretch at the scene sometimes when they're forced to give a live report and there's really nothing new.
Yeah.
All right, 1-800-520-1067 is the number for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. You call, we put you on the air, and we give you a prize.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
Well, look at this. How about a 4-pack of passes to the advanced screening of Avatar, the year's most anticipated film from director James Cameron? That's going to be December 17th. You'll see it at the Bridge Cinema Deluxe. It's in theaters the following day, December 18th. So please enjoy.
All right. Let's begin with Isaac. Hello, Isaac.
Hey, what's going on, Kevin and Bead?
What'd it do?
Hey, what's up with this California weather? There's ice all over my car this morning.
When I got out of my house to my car, it was in the 40s,
yes.
People.
No.
And I
Why'd you come in?
Low 40s.
And I expected, like, the whole city would just be dead. You know what I mean? Like, how can life be sustained in the 40s?
Shoot, I moved back home from North Carolina just to get away from that weather.
Yeah.
But I'm ready for this snowboard season. It's going to be good.
Yeah, that'll help. Those are the guys that are happy, guys and girls.
Right, that's true.
You need some snow at some point, exactly, if you want to snowboard.
But I don't know if we're going to pull through. I hope. Everybody needs to huddle together.
I can't believe they made you come in today. Honestly, it does seem like they should have allowed you guys to stay home.
I mean, really, I told you, it was in the 40s.
I hear you, man.
Yeah, I couldn't believe my car started.
That's craziness.
I was shocked.
I want to give a shout out to Kevin and Bean listeners on our Boise, Idaho affiliate, where it is currently -3. We want to say hello to you real quick for just a second.
Yeah, I was exaggerating. But it was in the 40s.
It was.
Jesse, hi.
What'd it do? I just want to know what's going on with these crappy NFL refs and these announcers that get paid so much money to ignore this stuff. The NFL's got to be fixed.
You must be talking about a specific team and a specific call.
I'm talking about the Saints and that overtime fumble and the review and the timeout and the whole debacle.
What do you think should happen?
Well, first off, if the ball was pulled, if the whistle was blown, the ball is dead. How can anybody recover a dead ball? So then why would they review it? And then why would the Saints get their timeout back? If they couldn't challenge the play, then they didn't throw a challenge. They just called timeout, and then they gave them back their timeout. What really happened?
I don't understand NFL refereeing enough to... Ralph, unfortunately, is the expert on this, so he's going to be able to fill us in on it. But it confounds me
Ralph
at times as
out.
Well.
I didn't see this overtime part so in question.
Yeah, there was a confusion whether it was a down by contact or was a fumble.
Right.
And so what Peyton did, Sean Payton, the coach for the Saints, was call a timeout because it was an overtime and only a booth review can look into a call. You can't challenge an OT.
Can't throw the flag, can't do
right,
anything they
exactly.
do.
Exactly. Okay. So very smart of him was he called the timeout to give the guys up in the booth a chance to say, geez, maybe we should take a look at that last play, let them think about it before the next play was called.
Smart.
So they took a look at it, and the rule, according to the NFL, is you can challenge whether a player was down by contact before the ball came out or whether it was a fumble, but someone from the opposite team has to have recovered that ball in order for it to be a fumble.
Oh.
It can't just be a fumble unless someone from the other team makes an actual move to recover that ball.
And did that happen?
And those are the two elements that have to be in place for it to be a fumble, and someone from the Saints did fall on the ball and recover it as if it was a fumble, and they ruled after looking at it that the ball came out before the runner was down.
Right, but the ref blew the whistle right when the ball came out, so everybody stopped going out.
Sure, because the call on the field was he was down by contact.
Right.
And but they reversed that call.
The Saints player that did pick up the ball, he just kind of walked over and picked it up because the play was dead. He could have ran in for a touchdown, but he just,
But he did take possession of the ball. That was the element that was needed.
What is the ruling with the whistle? I mean, it really does, when the whistle blows, doesn't that mean the play's over?
It does, but that play can, if it's a challengeable play, can be reviewed, of course.
But a dead ball is a dead ball. You're taught to stop as soon as the whistle is blown. You don't go after the ball.
If he hadn't grabbed the ball, then it wouldn't have been a fumble, but he had the forethought to fall on it just in case, to grab the ball just in case.
If we've learned anything from this, it's don't stop when the whistle blows. Right?
Keep playing the game.
Have to play right through until the end.
Especially when it comes to possession.
That's correct, yes.
But it was very smart of Peyton to call that timeout because
kidding.
It gave those guys a chance to think about it, and they did end up reversing it. Now, it's a big controversy because whether there was actual evidence enough to overturn that call in the field is very, very
is
close.
It?
I mean, just from two different angles, you can make two different decisions. So it was a very controversial call.
Thank God Ralph is here to decipher the NFL for us. And by the way, do you think that player intentionally went over and picked up that ball thinking exactly what you thought? Did he have the time to think through everything you just described, Ralph?
I think in, you know, you err on the side of caution. If it's a possibility that maybe it was a fumble, I think the guys now are learning to always take control of the ball just in case.
Just in case.
Something like that comes
up. He figured it was over, but you might as well. What's the downside?
There's no downside.
What's the downside? Yeah. Athletes turn out to be smart sometimes, it looks like.
No.
By the way, speaking of referees, and you can still call us at 1-800-520-1067 if you want to get in, but speaking of referees, anyone watch the Tim Donaghy interview on 60 Minutes Sunday?
I taped that. That's the NBA ref. That was cheating.
Yes. Let me tell you what's fascinating about not only this story, but so many stories, is you hear the initial blast, like somebody's accused of a crime, and then you rarely pay attention very much to the follow-up.
Right.
Well, it turns out he was, in fact, betting on basketball games. He bet on over 100. I guess what I didn't know from not following the story as closely as I probably should have is that the NBA investigated and the FBI investigated, and they couldn't find a single any evidence at all to suggest that his calls were changed during the game to affect the outcome of the game that he was reffing.
Right.
But
having said that, if he's got money on it, it's irrelevant.
That's one crime. Yes. One crime. But what I'm saying is, I think most of us probably thought that he was betting on games that he could influence with the calls that he made.
Right.
And that never happened. Isn't that shocking to you?
No, there's a difference between it never happening and them not being able to prove it.
Well, I'm saying they reviewed every single game, and they couldn't find any calls that suggested that he was trying to affect the outcome of a game he had money on, which is, to me, is just bizarre, because I would think that's why, as a ref, you would bet on games. But it turned out he was just betting because he was so familiar with the teams playing.
Here's what I heard. I heard that he was betting on the under-over, which is the total number of points. So, you know, at the end of the game, if there's a foul or something and you let it go, you know, that's not really provable, but you want him to score as many points as you can. I don't know. That was a complex deal, but that dude is not doing well.
Yeah.
He's in a bit of trouble.
Not going to go
He's
well.
In a tight spot. All right, let's go to Ray. Hey, Ray. What'd it do, nephew? What's going on?
Hey, baby boo.
Hello.
How about that game last night, guys?
Didn't watch it.
I didn't see the game last night.
Second most penalty yards ever.
Wow, really? How many penalties on each team?
They had 30? 10 each.
Huh?
Nah, 10 each, but they were interference calls, so they were big ones.
Wow. Who ended up winning?
Packers.
All right.
Awesome. Baltimore Ravens had more penalty yards than they had yards on offense.
That's good. Listen, they got the yards somehow. Yards are tough to come by in the NFL. If you have to get them with a penalty, well, then you do what you have to do. Who's with me? Anyone? All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
Everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
You have matching tattoos. You got matching tattoos with somebody. Now, we were going to do this yesterday, but then bad Christmas parties came up.
Yeah.
But matching tattoos. Matching tattoos.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that in general, by the way. If a husband and wife have a matching tattoo, what's the problem with that? As long as they stay together.
A year later
when they
break up.
Exactly.
We also are going to talk to Travis Barker.
Okay.
Who, of course, is the drummer for Blink 182 and every other band on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
We have him coming up just after the top of the hour in about 20 minutes.
He was so bummed when his band Led Zeppelin broke up. Man, that was tough on him. But at least he still had the Beatles.
We are going to call somebody from our company and ask them about the Christmas party details
because we
are unclear as to what we got can't be true. So we have to, track down some of the details.
All right.
Clearly, when they said Thursday at 3 in the lobby of the radio station, they meant Friday night in Vegas at midnight, right?
Right. That's what they meant. Yeah.
I'm sure.
Okay.
They just said it poorly. Sure. That's all.
Right.
There's a dude that wants to ban divorce in the state of California. Going to talk to him today.
Okay.
There's a dude that started a new company that makes fragrance based on people's DNA. So, for example, if you're a Michael Jackson fan, his DNA is involved in this fragrance that they'll sell you. I know. Insert joke here.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'm concerned how his DNA smells and how many other DNAs it's mixed with. I'm concerned of both of those things.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems there. So we'll talk to him. And we also have tickets in the pit for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show. We'll take a quick break and come back with Ralph Showbiz Beat next.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Tuesday. Ralph Garman joins us, taking off his NFL hat, putting on his entertainment hat. Tell us what's going on in the world of showbiz. Hey, Ralph.
What's up?
What's up with you?
Are your kids afraid of Santa, Kevin?
No.
when you took them to the mall for them to sit on Santa's lap, did they freak out?
I don't think so.
No? No. Apparently it's a big problem. Wouldn't think that, because you think kids love Santa.
Super young, maybe. Maybe too young.
Santa brings them junk.
Yeah.
It's more than most people do for him. That's Why are they screaming yell on Santa's lap?
Yeah, I don't know.
Ho, ho, ho! Come, sit on Santa's lap.
Because he sounds like that guy.
I got this new trend now, natural Santa. Have you heard about this?
No.
They think maybe it's the suit that scares kids. So they go for the natural Santa look, which is him in like a flannel shirt and suspenders. His sleeves rolled up, like the workshop look.
They think it's the red coat.
And it makes a difference?
They claim it does. But apparently it's sweeping the nation, this natural Santa look. Which to me just sounds like pedophile. Like an old dude in a beard, in a flannel shirt and suspenders with his fly open asking kids to sit on his lap. That's not Santa to me.
That does not seem Santa-ish.
That's talking to the therapist about inappropriate touching look.
Yeah.
Years from now. So I just thought that. I didn't know.
Wow, that is odd.
I don't know if kids are really scared of Santa these days.
Are you a pedophile?
You better not shout. You better not cry. You better not pout. I'm telling you why. Santa Claus is dead.
Oh, come on.
Wow. That's
kids.
That's not,
kids, don't worry. He's sorry. Not. That's a bad man.
That man was
that.
Joking.
That's right. You guys went, ooh, far away. Come over here, photographers. Oh, there they are. You guys watch the Duggar show, the Duggar show? That show on, was it TLC, I guess it is?
No.
Is that the family with the 18 kids?
The crazy Christian family's got 18 kids.
No.
And they live in like a barn and they shovel the hay out every morning because the kids just poop all over hay and they feed them out of a trough. And it's more like veal, really, than it is children.
No, I don't watch that
show. The
way
they raise them.
That sounds bad.
Well, Michelle Duggar is pregnant with number 19.
Yes! That's the one they've been wanting.
Oh, and according to People Magazine, God. She had to be taken to the hospital yesterday. She's got gallbladder problems. And apparently pain from the gallstones was generating contractions, which might have caused the premature birth of her 19th child. Some people speculate it's just that her vagina is just going to fall off.
Yeah.
I was going to say, just normal wear and tear.
Doctors
for 18
aren't
kids.
Sure. It's either gallbladder, it's either gallstones, or her lady parts are just going to drop out from abuse.
That seems like a bad idea.
Yeah, 19th kid on the way.
Oh, my God.
I remember the reconstructive surgery that Kate Gosselin had to have after her 8 kids. And a bunch of those were born at one time.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Imagine what this broad looks like after having 18 one at a time or two at a time. I mean, that's crazy.
It's gotten to the point now she is like a T-shirt cannon. When she has a baby. She just shoots it across the room.
The doctors just stay 15 feet away.
Doctor catches it on the other side. Yeah, it's ridiculous. She's got some hydraulic system put in there. Alexa Ray Joel, daughter of Billy Joel and Christie Brinkley, is apparently back at home after being taken to the hospital in what people are calling an apparent suicide attempt. The 23-year-old said publicly in the statement that she wants to thank everyone for their outpouring of love and support. We didn't really love or support you that much. We were just curious about what was going on with you. She said she's feeling much better and she's looking to get back on track, which I guess means not die.
Not die.
In this particular case.
Less of dying, more of living.
That's what she's trying to say.
Right.
More developments in the Tiger Woods sex scandal, of course. This morning you may have heard us talking about the fact that some woman was pulled from one of his homes in an ambulance and taken to the hospital. They're not sure who it was, but they're speculating it was either his mom or Elin's mom. Maybe it was because of the news that Jamie Grubbs released yesterday. Jamie Grubbs, I guess, was the second mistress we heard about. First was You Could Tell.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And the second one, Jamie Grubbs, who had appeared on Tool Academy, by the way, famously.
Right.
Said that in her 2.5-year-long affair with Condom, Tiger apparently didn't like to use condoms. Apparently, Tiger did not like to keep the covers on his clubs, let's say.
Is that right?
Yeah, he preferred it au natural.
That doesn't seem smart.
Not if you're married and you've got 2 kids at home.
And you've got lots of mistresses.
Even if you're single and sleeping around,
and
that's stupid.
You're dating slutty McTool Academy.
Wow.
She, by the way, added she wasn't on the pill during the 2.5 years they were together.
Really?
Okay.
No birth control at all was being practiced.
Excellent.
In that particular bedroom.
Well done.
So she was going for that payday also then.
I guess so. By the way, in case you are playing the game at home, there is a current list of 10 women.
10
women who have come forward and said they had affairs with
Tiger Woods.
Yesterday was six.
Let's do a quick recap, yes, shall we? Of course, Rachel Yucatel was the first. She is the Manhattan Club hostess who initially denied the affair, then looked like she was going to recant and have a press conference with her attorney, Gloria Allred.
Right.
Then canceled that press conference and has made no comment, any further comment, one way or the other. So we're still waiting to hear.
She's hot, by the way.
She is the hottest of all the concubines.
Whores.
Or whores, if you want to. Jamie Grubbs, who we just mentioned, said Tiger likes to jump out of a plane without a parachute.
Sure.
Kalika Moquin. She is a Las Vegas club manager. She's the third on the list. Swimsuit model Corey Rist.
Oh, yeah.
Who apparently Tiger flew several tour stops to join him throughout their affair. An employee for an organization called Trashy Girls Lingerie.
Sure.
Trashy Girls Lingerie is trashygirls.com is the website. You can hire them to come to your party dressed in lingerie. Jamie Jungers is her name.
Oh, yeah.
She worked for Trashy Girls.
Very classy. Good work, Bean.
Mindy Lawton is a waitress at an Orlando pancake house.
Okay.
As you can see, we decrease in quality as we get further on down the list. former porn star Holly Sampson has come forward and said she slept with Tiger. Number seven, a cocktail waitress from Orlando, Florida, who has made a statement, but according to her attorney, Michael O'Quinn is not ready to release her name.
Okay.
Number nine is a British TV host, which so far has yet to be identified as well, but apparently there was a woman who works in British television who he slept with for some time. And lastly, according to the British tabloids, another woman in England, an older woman, a sex-addicted cougar that Tiger spent some time with that they haven't named her name yet either, but she is number 10 on the list. So,
all right.
Collect them all, by the way. I've got the cards. I've got the trading cards at home. So,
I hope somebody can rush a Russian nesting doll set of all of Tiger's mistresses to the marketplace just in time for Christmas.
That would be great. And apparently it's a bad week to be on Family Ties. Either you're coming out and you're a lesbian, or you've got bigger problems.
What?
Last week, I guess I mentioned the fact that the mom from Family Ties, the old Michael J. Fox sitcom, came out and said she's been a lesbian now for 7 years.
An announcement not needed.
After three husbands and five kids.
Right.
I think it's needed if you've had three husbands and you've had five kids. To say you're a lesbian seems to be not completely true.
Yeah.
You must have been at least partially penis-oriented in order to crank out the five kids, right?
Yeah.
She said she's a lesbian. And now Brian Bonsall, who played Little Andy on the show, the youngest of the Keaton children.
Oh, no.
He was arrested for hitting his best friend with a bar stool in Colorado over the weekend.
Yes.
Brian, apparently upon his arrest, said to the cops that he and his best friend, Michael Trujillo, are both bipolar and like drugs. I take a lot of drugs, and sometimes those drugs make me forget things. He did not remember hitting Michael in the head with a bar stool at the bar in Colorado.
Okay.
People are now interviewing Nick and Mallory to see if they saw it. They were both
Family Ties curse. And by the way, don't forget Michael J. Fox. He's on something. Every time I see that guy, man, he's just shaky.
I think it's that 5-hour energy.
I don't think that's it at all.
You're not supposed to drink more than one in a
day. That's right. Today's celebrity birthdays, Terry Hatcher.
Word up.
She's a desperate housewife. She's 45. Looks pretty good for 45.
Yes, she does.
She sure does.
Kim Basinger is 56. Looks pretty good for 56.
Wow.
Sinead O'Connor's 43. Doesn't look so good for 43.
Pretty hot, really, by the way. Sinead O'Connor, pretty hot.
Really?
Stop.
I haven't seen a picture of her in the last couple of years. She used to be a very, very, very beautiful woman.
She was bald.
She was never very, very, very
chic.
Are you kidding me? Yeah, when she came out, she was gorgeous. She was gorgeous, but the hair obviously turned a lot of people off.
Yeah, I think you were tricked into believing she wasn't as hot as she was because she was bald. But
she's hotter than she was because, ooh, she's so exotic because she was bald. Ooh,
no,
look at her.
Because when she went through her non-religious hatred phase, she grew her hair out.
Yeah.
And you realize she's a really, really beautiful.
Beautiful skin, beautiful big eyes. I mean, she was very, very pretty. Like I said, I haven't seen her lately, though, but at the time she was.
Standard,
I agree.
She was kind of weird, but she was a fun weird.
Yeah. And a couple former Lost co-stars, Ian Somerhalder, who currently can be seen in The Vampire Diaries. He, of course, played Boone on Lost. He is 31. And Dominic Monaghan, also from Lost, played Charlie on that show. He, of course, was in The Lord of the Rings as well, and now can be seen in Flash Forward. He was responsible for the blackout, by the way.
Yeah, he's a bad dude.
Dick. He's 33. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Speaking of great shows, yeah, we do have more chances for the win tickets for the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 shows Kevin just referenced this weekend. There's another show in town that we're going to get some details on about. I don't know too much about it, but it's a 10th anniversary of Famous Stars in Straps, the clothing line with our friend Travis Barker. He's doing a show tonight at the Vanguard in Hollywood with Snoop Dogg. Now, what are the chances we're going to get a hold of Travis here? I know you said he's supposed to be on the show, but didn't Alex tell us it's been kind of shaky getting the information from them?
For the last week, it's been Snoop Dogg's going to come into the show.
Mm-hmm.
Fantastic. Oh, Snoop can't make it. Snoop's going to be on the phone. Oh, Snoop can't make it. Okay, so Travis is going to come into the show. Oh, Travis can't make it. But Travis can be on the phone. But Snoop wants to be on the phone, too. And it just went back and forth like crazy for a full week. Now, we have a phone number, and we have to call Mr. Cheese.
Who's Mr. Cheese?
I'm not making this up. We're calling Travis's assistant, Mr. Cheese, or Cheese, to his friends.
Okay.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Is he supposed to get us Travis, or is he supposed to tell us when we can talk to Travis, or what's the goal of this call?
I believe Alex talked to Cheese. She made contact with Cheese about 10 minutes ago.
Okay. All right.
And Cheese said he's on his way over, and he's going to get Travis for us. So
okay.
We're calling Cheese, and then he's going to try and find us Travis. Has anything been more shaky ever?
Shaky McShakerton.
Really? It's gonna be funny when Snoop Dogg answers. But all right, let's give it a try. Let's try to get a hold of the Cheese.
Calling Cheese.
Hello.
Hey, is this Cheese?
No, actually, it's Travis.
Hey, Travis, Kevin Bean here. How are you?
How you guys doing?
We're good. We were told that we had to talk to your assistant Cheese to get to you.
No, he rushed over to me. I was at breakfast with my daughter, and he gave me his phone.
Oh.
Why do you have a guy working for you named Cheese, Travis? What's the story behind that name?
Right? That's weird. I didn't have any say-so in naming him when he was a baby, or I would have changed that.
Come on. Cheese is a great name. I want it.
It is awesome. It is awesome. It does sound like somebody who should be hanging out with a Hamburglar, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, no, for sure.
Let's talk about Famous Stars and Straps and Snoop Dogg.
We're celebrating our 10-year anniversary of being a brand and a company, and Snoop's celebrating his 10th album. So we kind of, you know, agreed to celebrate together and do it real big.
I'll say real big. This is an event that is going to be happening tonight, and it's going to be at Club Vanguard in Hollywood. You are going to be on stage. Snoop is going to be on stage. What is actually going to be performed? Are you guys going to be doing a set together or separately or what?
Yeah, we're doing like seven Snoop songs, like seven songs, you know, from all 10 of his records or whatever.
Wow.
And Corrupt's going to be performing with him as well. It's going to be real fun, man.
You play with so many different types of musicians. That must be fun.
Yeah, man, it keeps it interesting. This Friday too, I'm playing with Camp Freddy. We're doing a whole 80s set. It's gonna be really exciting.
Camp Freddy's the best too.
Let me tell you something we know about our friend Travis Barker, who we've been knowing for a long, long time here. There are two things in the world that he does: spend time with his kids and drum. That's it. That's, in case you wonder, how is it possible that Travis can do so much with 24 hours a day? It's because he's only doing those two things.
You know what? You hit that right on the nose.
Yeah.
That's literally my life. Drums, music, my kids.
That's a hell of a life. That's good.
Yeah. Hey, nothing wrong with that. Now, Travis, take me back to 1999. Lots of people who get famous in one area say, hey, I'm going to start a clothing line. Hey, I want to do something else in this arena. Obviously, you've been very successful at it to last 10 years on. What made you want to get into that business of T-shirts and hats and stuff like that?
You know, like 10 years ago, there was brands around, obviously, but there were kind of brands that like pigeonholed you into either being like a surfer or a skateboarder or this and that. And with Famous, I wanted to start a lifestyle brand that was everything. It was music. It was action sports. It was graffiti. It was everything that I was kind of into as a kid. So you weren't kind of like labeled as one thing. And then, I mean, 10 years later, I'm here, and I guess it worked, you know, and it's been awesome. It's been a really cool opportunity for me to express myself through clothing. And
Travis is not one of these guys who puts his name on it and waits for the checks to roll in. I mean, you are actively involved in every decision that gets made in this company.
Yeah, A to Z. I mean, and I kind of stay out of it. You know, I'm not the poster child for it or anything. We have amazing skateboarders, amazing MMA fighters, amazing BMX guys, you know, that we sponsor and help out. So it's been a blast. It's been one of the, you know, best things I've done with, you know, my life, really.
Sure. How did the thing with Snoop come together? How did you guys say, hey, let's do it, you know, an event tonight where we celebrate together?
You know, we had mutual friends, you know, for a long time, and
was Cheese one of them?
No, actually, cheese wasn't one of them.
Okay.
We had some friends, and they were always, you know, we were working on getting us together in the studio, which we still plan on doing. And then this came up before we could even get an opportunity to get in the studio. So,
is it true that you are working, you're on a song that will appear on the Lil Wayne album that's coming out this month?
Yes, I did. I actually had done it probably about a year ago now. Right when I had got out of the hospital, actually, I had done that track.
And that's when you were just getting drumming again.
Yeah, I just started drumming again.
Yeah.
And that dude is awesome. I can't wait for his rock record. Have you heard much of it? Because I really am excited about it.
You know, I haven't heard anything except for what's leaked, you know, here and there, but I'm really, really excited. I mean, I haven't even heard the track that I played on after lyrics and everything else happened to it. So I can't wait to hear it.
You should get it from Cheese. He's got it.
And the last question, the last non-Stars and Straps question I wanted to ask you is, we heard so much about the new Blink-182 song that you guys recorded and then never played the whole time you were out on tour this summer. Whatever happened to it, and when's it finally coming out?
We want to have it released so everyone, all our fans, know the song before we play it. We're going to play it like on tour, and then we were really like adamant about having, you know, all our fans be able to like have a copy of it and know the words and stuff. So it will come out next year, and you know, for those who can't wait till late next year for a Blink record, there's going to be a new Blink song on my solo album and a new Transplant song on my solo album.
No
kidding. Look at that.
Awesome.
How about that?
Yeah.
And when does that come out?
Hopefully like March or April.
Fantastic.
It's up to Cheese, right? Whatever he says goes.
Whatever Cheese says.
All right. Well, the event tonight is in Hollywood at Club Vanguard, which is 6021 Hollywood Boulevard. Now, is this a deal where people just line up to get in? Or you have to buy tickets earlier in the day? Or how does it work, Travis? Do you know?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of like first come, first serve. No tickets. Doesn't cost anything to get in. It's a huge art show. Snoop and I are bringing some cars down. And there's going to be a performance. Diplo is going to be spinning all night. He's an amazing DJ, so that's kind of how it's going down.
Sounds like a great night.
It sounds amazing, and that all takes place at around 10 o'clock tonight at Club Vanguard. Of course, we have the details here on the website, too. Travis, you know you're one of our favorite people in the world, man, and we're blessed to know you. I hope you have a fantastic holiday season, and as always, we appreciate your time on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah, happy holidays, you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you, man. Bye now.
All right.
I'm a little sad we didn't get a chance to talk to Cheese himself, but if you want to go to that event with Travis and Snoop tonight, we got tickets for you at 1-800-520-1067. First callers through, win them right now from the Kevin and Bean Show.
Is it still rape if you're surprised?
Oh, I don't know that that's the question you want to be asking. Hey, what about banning divorce in the state of California? If that were already in effect, all of us would be married to women we don't like. But
wow.
I'm glad it hasn't happened yet, but we'll find out what the impetus is behind it coming up in just a few minutes right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
We get a bunch of email, and we try to go through it the best we can. I'm probably worse than any of the other people here, but... You know, you do the best you can. You go through like five, and then you go, phew, am I tired?
You are the worst.
And you take a break and go watch something on TV. But I got this one, and I found it very fascinating. Dear Kevin and Bean, I have been noticing that Coach Bill Belichick of the New England Patriots has been down even more lately since the Patriots suck.
Yeah, he's a guy who's not happy. Even when they win the Super Bowl, he doesn't seem excited. So you can imagine on a season like this where they're 7-5, you can imagine he's just miserable every second of the day.
7-5, 1-5 on the road. So
yes,
really just bad.
Yeah.
Barely ahead of Miami at 6-6. And so then the emailer goes on, I think he could use some cheering up from Eli Manning.
Oh, well, there you go. Eli's a very positive, uplifting kind of guy.
Giants are in third place in the NFC East, but Eli probably has a little bit of a better attitude than Bill. So can you make this happen and cheer the poor coach up? Thanks, Ronnie. Ronnie, mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah.
Listen up, everyone.
You instant.
Make a request.
Instant request.
Instant request.
All right. Well, first, let's welcome to the phone our old friend Eli Manning from the New York Giants. Hi, Eli. How are you?
Hi.
Kevin and Bean here. How you doing?
Hi, Kevin.
You okay?
Hi, Bean.
Hi, Eli.
Hi, Eli.
I'm Eli.
Congratulations on your win against Dallas over the weekend.
Yeah. We beat the Cowgirls.
Yeah, you sure did.
You called them the Cowgirls.
Yeah.
And
so
now
that,
let's...
So that they're on them.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Let's say hello to our friend Bill Belichick, the coach of the New England Patriots. Not so much luck against Miami. Hi, Bill.
Yeah.
You doing all right? How you feeling a few days out?
Great.
Okay. Mm-hmm. We have our friend Eli Manning on the phone. He wants to talk to you.
Hi, Bill. Hi, BB. Hi, Bill. BB, Bill. Hi.
Yeah.
Do people call you BB?
No.
No.
Hi.
Eli.
Hot. Here's there.
Yeah.
Hi.
Eli. We lost this guy.
In the Super Bowl. Yeah, exactly.
Unbelievable.
It does kind of hurt. Eli, you manage to always keep a positive attitude. Do you have any words of advice for Coach?
Yes. You should always wear your helmet. Hello?
Yeah.
And don't go in the pool without your floaties.
We could die. We were thinking more along the lines of how to have a positive mental attitude during a football season.
Oh.
Yeah.
Take the pill doctor gives you. And have candy.
How about candy?
How about candy, BB?
No, thanks.
You eat it. Eat the candy.
No.
Go.
Coach, it wouldn't kill you to eat the candy.
All right, I'll eat some candy.
Okay, good. Whoa, what was that?
Whoa, who's shooting at who?
I'm still making cuts here on the team.
Oh, that's not the way to get a guy off your team is to shoot him. Coach, come on.
We need a new kicker.
That you do.
Well,
you can shoot. No, he can shoot his kicker. That would be fair.
Yeah, we need one with both legs. This one's missing one now. We need two legs.
Coach, I hope you're not scaring Eli on the other line with the gun.
Shoot more people!
More!
I love it!
What?
I love shooting!
What? That's not what
I'm going to go shoot Eli.
You should not shoot.
No, you shouldn't have a gun, Eli.
Yeah! I need a gun!
No.
I need a gun!
No, you don't need a gun.
I need a gun!
This has turned out...
I'm going to shoot Peyton!
This is going south.
Oh,
don't shoot your brother!
I'm just kidding. All I'm going to shoot Dad.
No, don't shoot Archie either. What are you kidding here? Come on. All right. Well, listen, we're almost out of time. Coach, any final words for Eli before we hang up and let you get back to practice?
Yeah, I can't believe I lost to you.
Eli?
I'm sorry. You don't have enough brain power to operate a small appliance light bulb.
Wow. That's how it's going to be.
Addy beat you in the Super Bowl. Eli, any final words for Coach Belichick?
Yeah.
Okay.
I think you are a great coach.
There you go. That's nice.
I respect what you do, but you can suck it.
By the way, if there's one thing I've learned, Kevin, in all the years we've been doing this show, it's this.
When gays marry, it ruins marriage for the rest of us.
I mean, clearly, if a gay couple can marry, Kevin, then what value does my marriage have, right? I mean, that just follows. That just makes sense, right?
Yeah, makes sense.
Well, we're going to talk to John Marcotte now on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has he's got a controversial act that he's trying to get the voters of California to vote on, and it is the 2010 Marriage Protection Act. I think I like it. Hey, John, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you, man?
I'm doing good.
I'm sorry. Did you say you think you like it?
I think I like it very much.
Wow.
I do. John, the 2010 Marriage Protection Act, of all the people who are out there flapping their guns on the TV and across this great country of ours who are promising to stand up to support traditional marriage, I think you're doing more than any of them.
Exactly. You know, I looked at what they were doing with Prop 8, and I'm ashamed to say I voted against it because I thought it was a gay rights issue, you know, should gays have the right to get married. But I looked at the Yes on 8 website, and I realized they barely mention gay people. They just want to protect traditional marriage and think of the children. And
right.
I thought those were great ideas, but they went about it in a weird way. If you want to protect marriage, don't stop gay people from getting married. Stop straight people from getting divorced.
So you want to
there
put,
you go.
So you want to put a measure on the ballot next year that would ban divorce.
Exactly. I'm going after the goals of the Prop 8 movement in a way that they could only dream of. Because, you know, it wasn't about gay rights. It was just about protecting traditional marriage.
Exactly.
And I'm taking them at their word, and I'm going to get this on the ballot.
Okay. So let's theoretically, what would happen if your bill became law? What would people in California do if they decided they wanted to divorce? Would they be able to go to another state and separate, or would they just have to stay together till one killed the other?
Well, you know, they would have to go to another state, although much like Prop 8, I hope to spread my special brand of morality all the way across the country. Right now, they would have to leave the state. You know, eventually, I'm hoping we could enforce my views on marriage on everybody else coast to coast.
And that's an excellent point, because now everyone has the ability to help take rights away from somebody, right?
Yeah, you know, that was one of the interesting things about Proposition 8. It's one of the few constitutional amendments, if not the only one ever, that took rights away from people rather than giving them more rights. You know, usually constitutions work the other way around.
Here's what I know, and this is basically my understanding of things.
A marriage is between Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve.
That's what I know.
I have heard that.
Right?
I have heard that. Yeah. So, John, tell me how this began. Obviously, you had the kernel of the idea, but then you started talking about it a little bit, and you were surprised with how many people were willing to stand with you?
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. You know, if I could have planned on getting this level of attention, and if I could do this on command, I'd probably be in a whole different line of work. you know, I went from literally speaking to two people at a poetry cafe in Sacramento on a Wednesday.
I'll bet that was riveting.
On that Saturday, I was on CNN. So
wow!
Rather quickly.
All right. How can some, this is, it's really fascinating the way you're going about this, because what can people say who are against you, who think, you know, you're just mocking the system and you're just out for publicity or whatever it is they're going to accuse you of? I mean, they can't very well come out in support of divorce, right? What are they saying to you, the people who are against you?
Oh, you know, we had, it's interesting. I mean, most of my big hate mail was from people on the left who take me at my word. But, you know, the people that are on the right, I'm very surprised I haven't managed to gather, you know, this coalition of people that supported Prop 8. I mean, the Catholic Church, which I'm a part of, doesn't even have the institution of divorce.
Right. They allow, what do they call it, annulments? They allow that.
Yeah, but they allow annulments, which my bill would allow as well.
Okay.
So
wait a minute. The hate that you're getting is from people on the left who think you're serious.
That is the majority of the hate mail that I get. We have made some outreaches to organizations like the National Organization of Marriage, which was kind of the big umbrella organization that moves from state to state running these Protect Traditional Marriage campaigns. They made that Gathering Storm ad. I don't know if you remember that.
Oh, yeah, Storm is Gathering. Oh, yeah.
If we didn't have Prop 8, it was going to start raining homosexuals from the sky. I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
So I guess we all dodged a bullet on that one.
I was afraid that I was going to turn gay if it didn't go the right way. I mean, honestly, that's how dangerous they made it look in the Gathering Storm ad.
Now, is it true that you're raising funds primarily by selling $12 T-shirts that feature a bride and groom stick figure chained at the wrists?
That is exactly right. That's our Chains of Love T-shirt, and it has our slogan on it. It has our slogan on it. You said, "Till death do us part, you're not dead yet."
Wow.
Love it. We're talking to John Marcotte, by the way. The website is rescuemarriage.org if you want to hear more about the 2010 Marriage Protection Act. You have over 11,000 friends on Facebook. What is it that your followers, if I may call them that, John, what is it they want you to do next? Just continue gathering signatures so that you can get on the ballot?
Yeah, you know, and that 11,000 number was accurate when the AP story broke. We now have, I think, 23,000 followers on Facebook.
Wow. How many valid signatures do you have? Because you need almost 700,000 to get on the ballot.
Right. We have, you know, that's kind of an interesting question. I know I have several hundred, and we distributed the ballots right before Thanksgiving, and I gave them out in packets of 100 apiece, and I've only gotten a few of those packets back yet. They're supposed to fill out the full 100 and then send them back. We also just discovered we can distribute them electronically if we make a little training video online. So the video was shot last weekend. It's getting edited this week, so hopefully.
As of right now, you still need 694,154 signatures.
693,000. You know, we're cutting into that. But the idea is that we have literally thousands of people have said that they want to start circulating these petitions, but we didn't have a way to get it in people's hands.
Got it.
We're going to be able to do that this week.
All right.
Yeah, they don't make it easy. You can't just think of something and get it on the ballot in a week. There's a great deal of time, effort, and usually money that has to go into any kind of campaign to get something to that level. And I got to be honest, John, I mean, this is funny and all, and you thought of it, and, you know, I'm a little bit surprised that you're sticking with it and you're going to keep on going. Most people get an idea like this. They kind of feel like they get out there, they make their point, and then they're tired of it. But what keeps you going?
Well, you know, I think it's the support that I'm getting. It's still, it's not diminishing. In fact, it's been growing. You know, I can say I'm delighted by it. What's really amazing is the amount of support I'm getting from the gay and lesbian community. I guess after Prop 8, they looked hard at the issue of protecting traditional marriage, and they decided that, you know, it was a good thing.
Right, right, exactly. All right, let me give out the information again for folks who want to follow along with what John's doing or maybe help out in some way. RescueMarriage.org. That's the website to read all about the 2010 Marriage Protection Act. All right, John, awesome work, man. Thank you so much for coming on the Kevin and Bean Show. We enjoyed talking to you.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you. I don't care about
that. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. And it is 6:53.
What happened?
What's wrong with you?
What?
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Kevin is trying to talk and eat at the same time. What's happening, Kevin?
Song
what do you got
ran
going on?
Out. I was eating. What do you want me to do?
Be a professional.
Since when?
Try.
Why start now?
Really?
The easy thing to do is not to stuff your face with food before you talk into a microphone.
Oh, that's great. But what do I do when I'm hungry?
Wait.
No.
There is a timer. You could look probably at the clock and say, hey, there's 45 seconds left in the little Weezer record. Maybe I won't start eating now.
Good defense.
Well
played,
right.
Kevin. Nice debate.
You actually should have been an attorney. Your mom was right. All right, listen.
What happened?
Did you get a tattoo with a friend or family member? Do you have some sort of group tattoo that maybe seemed awesome at the time because you were going to be together and friends forever, and now maybe not so much? We want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. That's going to be our topic coming up after the top of the hour. Now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Tuesday. What's happening?
Zac Efron.
Oh! Yes, yes,
may
yes.
Look like a pretty Fruit Loop.
I'm sorry, but would you mind, Ralph?
No, I insist.
Take the bells back.
Dare you. What's going on with my sweet Zach?
But he claims he's a hardcore daredevil.
Really?
Yes.
Well, he's all testosterone, that guy.
He says he would love to try skydiving at some point and just finish his first bungee jump. Wow, he should be on Jackass.
He really is a
he's
trendsetter.
Hard. What a queer.
He says he's got to be secretive about it.
Sure.
Because his parents aren't too supportive of his adventurous streak. But he says he wants to try more and more extreme things. Next, reportedly, he's going to jump nude onto a fire hydrant. That's what I've heard. But first.
Are you jealous because he's so talented or because he's so good looking?
I'm not jealous so much as I am hilarious.
Hey, check out that flaming queen.
Because here's the one thing we know about Zac Efron.
A girly boy.
A puff. A fairy. A queer. A queen. Fudge packer. Uphill gardener. Fruit-picking sodomite.
That's what we know.
By the way, that's all true. That's science.
That is science.
If that boy were an apple, he'd be a delicious. Ugh.
Pee-wee Herman.
Yes.
Returns to television tonight.
Oh.
What's he doing?
He's going to make a little appearance on a show called Jimmy Kimmel Live.
Oh, how
yeah,
great.
Yeah, apparently Pee-wee Herman will be on Jimmy tonight.
Good. I saw him on Leno, and he was horrible. So I hope that he's worked up some material before he appears on Jim's show.
Yeah, you want to know the difference in those two shows? Leno and Jimmy.
Yeah, one's right. Funny, one's Leno.
The problem wasn't the host in that case. The problem was Pee-wee. He was terrible on Leno.
Problem is always the host.
And it could be both. It could be both Leno and Pee-wee, but it's certainly Leno as part of the equation.
But a good host will get something good out of a guest.
Right, yeah.
A bad host will be Jay Leno.
Bad host, right.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
Anyway, I want to give you a heads up. Jennifer Love Hewitt is a bad girlfriend.
Yep. Why?
She's dating Jamie Kennedy.
Yeah.
And apparently he's a Philly boy from Philadelphia.
Wait, she's dating him on purpose?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, made that choice.
All right.
He's from Philadelphia, and apparently he had an autographed Phillies T-shirt of the World Series team from last year.
Do not tell me she washed it.
She was trying to be helpful and do some laundry for him.
Oh, do not go there.
Washed his Phillies T-shirt.
Oh,
washed all
no.
the autographs out of it.
Yeah!
That's the best thing I've ever heard. That's grounds for a whooping, right? You can give a woman a whooping after that, right?
Yeah.
Give her a whooping.
Yeah, there's no whooping.
You give her a whooping.
There's no whooping.
I'm saying out to the woodshed
no,
for a whooping.
No. So.
She gets the whooping.
He moves on, though. I mean, you cannot abide that.
She's currently looking to replace it for him. Well, that should be easy enough.
She could just show up in the locker room. She could get them all.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Nah. Women are good for nothing, aren't they?
Yeah, you got that right.
Put them on the glass.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's what I'm, yeah.
And you know how we make fun of that International Star Registry every year?
Yes.
Yeah, name a star after somebody. It's the best holiday gift.
It is the best. It's a gift that lives forever, Kevin. Sure. You can name a star after someone, and they will have that forever.
Right.
Or until that star burns out. Well, apparently Pete Wentz, Fallout Boy, bought a star for his son Bronx.
What's going on here, Mr. Queermo?
A puff, a fairy, a queer, a queen, fudge packer, uphill gardener, fruit-picking sodomite.
Apparently, he got that for his son and then gave his wife, Ashley Simpson, a pendant with the coordinates of the star that she can wear around her neck.
Dear God.
Is it just, are we the only ones that don't get that star registry thing?
Slays me.
I mean, honestly.
I'm sure there are people that think it's so romantic.
But it's fake.
Doesn't
its fakeness kind of ruin its romance?
How can it be fake? You're naming a star after someone. That person gets their name on a star.
But they don't.
Oh, Kevin.
They don't get that.
They get a certificate.
They get a piece of paper that says,
don't know.
I'm saying, no one's naming stars.
It's the International Star Registry.
Right.
It's registered. They write it down in the registry.
What I like is it's like $60 too, for nothing.
Well, you know. First of all, you have to fly to the star. You have to get like one of those.
They don't do any of that.
One of those, name tag puncher things. You know,
right.
that send out the little labels.
Sure, little label maker. Yeah.
You got to put the name on that. Then you got to stick the label to the star.
Nope.
And then fly back to Earth.
No,
all that for $60. I think it's a pretty good deal.
There's just some dude in a warehouse with some paper, and he prints it up and sends it out. That's what happens. No one's flying anywhere.
Okay, Buck Rogers.
Just saying.
Okay, Flash Gordon. I guess you know all about space travel and how they name stars. And Weezer has canceled the rest of its tour.
Oh, Weezer.
What happened?
Well, as we know, Rivers Cuomo had a little bit of a bus accident on Sunday, and the decision was made to scrap the remainder of the December dates on the Ratitude tour.
I'd feel a little better if we had some details on Mr. Cuomo's condition, by the way.
No further word.
Yeah, they're not really saying much.
But it's bad news that they're canceling the tour.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So maybe they'll just take the holidays off and then try to regroup next year and get back on the road.
Start again.
But we wish them, of course, the quickest in recoveries. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays, shall we? Kim Basinger is 56 years old today. Is it Basinger or Basinger?
I think
it's Basinger.
I've heard both.
I think it is, yeah. What did she win her Oscar for, Ralph?
LA Confidential. Is that it? Yeah.
Don't
I believe. Terry Hatcher's 45 years old today. Sinead O'Connor celebrates her 43rd birthday. Dominic Monaghan from Lost and Lord of the Rings is 33.
How did that Lost end? I missed it. How did it
We have yet
wrap
to see
up?
The end. Kevin,
how did it wrap
it'll
up?
It'll start again in January of 2010.
I don't remember where...
Final season. The final season.
Right, I don't remember the final season.
It's coming up. You haven't seen it.
Did they answer all the
questions? You have not yet seen it. You will see it upcoming in the future. Or
what do you
think? Past, depending on where you are on the island.
That's right. What do you think the chances are that the casts of Lost will end up somewhere in Flash Forward? What do you think the chances that there's going to be some sort of overlap there?
Awesome. You find out that it was not pressing the numbers in the bunker that created the Flash
exactly.
that caused the blackout.
Exactly.
Because remember, there was an
experiment.
There was an Oceanic Airlines billboard and the pilot of Flash Forward leading us to believe that there was some sort of parallel universe thing happening, so who knows where they're going with it.
Dominic Monaghan. Charlie's already there.
Exactly.
He was a rock star, and now he's a physicist. Yep. Anything can happen.
I don't understand any of the words that are coming out of your mouth.
Ian Somerhalder from Lost also is 31 years old today. And that's it. That's all the birthdays. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 8 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Hey, it's Tiger.
You did
me a huge favor. Please, God gave this to me. Can you take your name off your phone? My wife went through my phone and made me call. Take your name off your phone. God gave this to me. Just have a nice number. Take your name off your phone.
See, that's what I'm saying is that...
My wife went through my phone and made me call. paint your nail.
Everything's better when you turn it into a slow jam.
Slow jams make everything better.
There you go. And finally, they figured out a way to make Tiger Woods not sound like a dork.
Slow jams and remixes make everything better. Mm-hmm. Yep, it makes it all absolutely right. Happy.
All right, it is the Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Your chance this hour to win tickets for night number two of the Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show. That's the one with Muse, don't you know, at the top of the bill. Hey, how do we get onto this topic of the group tattoos? Where did the story begin?
I think it was
the
Miley
Cyrus family?
Yeah, yeah, Miley Cyrus and her brother Trace Cyrus. I guess Trace has most of his body.
He has tons of tattoos,
He's mostly covered with tattoos. Yeah. And he came out and told OK Magazine that he hopes to have matching body art with his siblings, including Miley. He wants them all to get together and get the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be roped into that, right?
No.
That's a bad policy to be roped into group tattoos, right?
It's really a permanently worse version of wearing the same shirts to Disneyland or something, right?
And we've all seen those people who dress alike at Disneyland. You don't want to be those people.
You're a dumbass. Stop that.
Yeah, just because it's a tattoo doesn't make it cooler.
This is permanent.
All right, let's talk to Kelly first?
Yeah, let's talk to
Kevin and Bean listener Kelly. She apparently on the line, 1-800-520-1067. She's got a family style tattoo. I haven't heard what it is, so let's see if this makes the grade.
Which line is it? I can't see here.
She is on the blue line.
Okay. Right. Hey, Kelly.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi.
Okay, I'm hoping that I might change your mind on this a little bit.
Now, having said what we said, you know, there are probably a few instances where it works. It's cool.
Sure.
You'll never regret it.
Maybe
whatever.
You're it.
But for the most part.
I think my case, you know, might be a little unique.
All right, let's hear it.
Okay. My mom, myself, and my two sisters all have the same initials. Same middle name, same last name, obviously, and similar first names. So we all are getting the tattoo KLV to the fourth power.
Because those are your...
You're one of those families, first of all, where you all of you have the same first initial.
Give us your names. Give us the first names of all four.
Kathy, Kelly, Kelsey, Kylie.
Yeah, they're one of those.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Do whatever you want.
Yeah.
If I had the choice, I would not have picked that. It caused a lot of confusion.
I know it's not your fault, but we
but
we want to point and laugh anyway on behalf of everyone else because it's kind of annoying, isn't it?
I have cousins, Jackie, Janny, Julie, Jill. Really?
Where are you putting KOV to the fourth?
Well, there's different locations. My youngest sister, who got it first, is actually 17, and hers is on the back of her neck.
Yeah.
Well,
I will tell you, the one thing I've learned is you never make permanent decisions at 17 that you don't end up regretting. I'll tell you that.
No, I was against the whole thing of her being the first one to get it, but she's kind of the rebel of the family.
All right, so she's sad, girl. And then the rest of you said, hey...
That's a bad idea for her. Let's make it a bad idea for us, too.
Look what a bad idea that was.
Exactly.
Let's do it.
Better.
And your mom? Is your mom doing it as well?
Yes.
How about this?
She started this whole disaster.
Hey, Kelly, do you guys drive some sort of an SUV that has little stick figures with all of your names on the back of it?
No, and I aim my car at people who do.
No, you don't.
Well, you are
this close to being that family. I got news for you.
You're not allowed. Sorry.
And Dexter's going to give you what's coming because of it, too. All right, my dear. Thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
1-800-520-1067. Let's go to the red line also. This is Jaso. This is a friend of yours, Psycho Mike, right?
Sure is. Good friend of mine.
Hey, Jaso.
Hey. Hello.
So you got a matching tattoo. Tell us how that came about.
I really wish mine was better than the fourth power thing, but...
It is, by the way. Yours is spectacular.
Well... A long time ago, I lived with this guy who apparently his real name is Billy. Later found out his name to be Dustin Alexander. And it's hard for me to say that he screwed me and my roommate over because of the gay double entendre now of that.
Why? What is... Oh, he's the gay porn star.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, he wasn't the gay porn star when you got the tattoos, right?
Wait, you got tattoos with guy friends?
Yes.
Okay.
Were you guys in the joint together or something?
Hey, wait, okay. I'm friends with Psycho Mike, so is anything I do at this point really gay? I guess my gaydar is kind of broken.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's an excellent point.
But Lisa's right.
Had you known these guys like your whole life?
I've known them for a while.
A while?
What was the matching tattoo that you had?
Well, it's not the same thing, but mine says evil prevails and his says good fails. It's a quote. from a movie. And
okay, but if people don't, you know, if they don't know that quote or whatever, that you would just be evil prevails.
Right. Well, except I grew up in this place called Orange County where, yeah. you know, it was like when everyone found out he was getting Eiffel Towered by three dudes, it hit like a wildfire.
Yeah.
And now you're the gay porn star's life partner in everybody's eyes.
But I'd like to back up just a second again, because the fact that he went on to do gay porn is icing on the cake. I mean, that really is the best. But before that, your matching tattoos were gay.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, even if he had never, if he turned into a minister.
That's a terrible idea.
Right?
I don't know. Is it really that gay?
Yes.
Look, here's what I'm going to tell you. If you guys were in a foxhole together in Nam and owe each other your lives, maybe then you get a tattoo to commemorate that bond that will live forever, that lifelong connection that you have. Not some guy that you went drinking with a few times. What are you doing, Jason?
Why don't you tell us if it's gay?
Well, he was actually sober, so he's kind of like my he was my designated driver because I'm pseudo-alcoholic myself.
Right.
So it was kind of like all right, this guy's taken care of me many a time. You know, it's almost like going into battle, is it not?
No, it's not.
No, it's not at all. He gave you a ride home. That's not the same as going to war.
Did he hold your hair while you threw up?
I just hope I didn't fall asleep in the car too often.
Yeah, no kidding.
You woke up sore a lot. That's all I know.
Hey, last question, Jay. So you're friends with Psycho Mike. Why don't you get a matching Ozzy tattoo to what he's got going on in his chest, since you guys are so close?
Maybe I should just have Mike sign my check, and I'll get Mike's name signed.
There you
might as well.
You may as well, yeah.
You might as well. I mean, it couldn't get any worse. Once the Eiffel Tower comes into the picture, all bets are off.
I just won't pass out in front of Mike.
That's always a good advice. All right, listen, Jason, thank you very much for coming on the show with us. We appreciate it.
No, look at all these calls, by the way. This is fairly commonplace.
I had no idea.
You want to try, do we have time for one more before the break?
I'd like to talk to Eric.
Let's talk to Eric on line two. Sure, why not?
Hey, Eric.
Hey, yeah, Eric.
Tell us about you and your four buddies.
So basically, I've known four buddies since elementary school, and I don't know, one day we decided we're listening to Bob Marley, and we got One Love tattooed on our left side.
Oh, you did not.
Okay, so all five, is it you and four others, or just all four?
Me and three other buddies.
You and three, and you all got the same tattoo, One Love, on your thigh in the same place.
What happened?
Okay, here's my question, Eric. When you guys are standing around in a circle, can you all see each other's tattoos?
No, we have to lift up like your left pant, like the left leg, because we're trying to hide it from our parents, I guess.
Were you underage when you got it?
No.
Okay. Want them to know that you're a dumbass?
Yeah, basically. I told my parents the next day, and my mom basically said, why the hell did you get it there?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's good there. Most people won't see it. But how?
I got mine done in the shop. They got all there in the garage. So mine's actually pretty legit. They're
Does that make it better for you? Do you really feel like that's you're a step above?
Yeah, mine's a lot better.
But you have One Love.
It's not gay.
You're also a butt pirate.
It's so
okay.
Gay.
All right. So you don't regret it. You're saying you don't regret it.
No, I mean, maybe regretting it where it's at, but the way it looks, I think it's pretty good.
All right.
Yeah,
and only your four boyfriends will see it, so you're good.
That's true. Yeah. All at once, probably.
Thanks for the call.
All right.
Yeah, Eric.
All right, 1-800-520-1067. We got some great calls. By the way, this is going to be just like when we used to call people with mullets. Remember the hair police? This is going to be one of those deals with no matter how bad the decision was to get it made, we're not going to be able to get anybody to admit that it was a mistake. Every single one of these people is going to call and go, no, Kevin and Bean,
I'm the exception.
I'm perfectly happy with it.
Yeah, everybody else is a dumbass, but I'm the exception. 1-800-520-1067. We'll take your calls next.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're taking calls from severely misguided listeners. They thought it was a great idea when they and their friends and or family decided to get matching tattoos, forgetting the advice we have so often said on this program.
Next time, think before you ink.
But they're defending them. They're defending the decisions at 1-800-520-1067. I'm going to stick to what I told the last segment of callers, which is unless you've been in a foxhole in war with a guy, you shouldn't get a matching tattoo with him, okay? Let's try, we got some good ones here. Let's try Art, shall we? Art is on line 7 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Art, thanks for calling. Thanks for hanging on. What did you and your friends do?
Yeah, pretty much a group of guys I grew up with. We all got a tattoo of the handicap.
guy from the little sign on our calf.
You got the handicap sign? You mean like where the parking is?
Yeah, but it's only the guy in the wheelchair. It's just a little wheelchair stick figure. Yeah.
And you have that on your calves?
Yeah.
Okay, I can understand one guy doing it or one guy being talked into doing it because he's drunk enough. How do five of you black out to the point where that seems like a good idea?
Well, it was kind of like our little logo. Like, we used to write it out everywhere, and we used to skate, and we called our little skate crew, you know, Handicap, and that was we carved that on our grip tape on our skateboards. Yeah. And it just kind of became our logo, our sign, and just kind of, you know, we all eventually got it tattooed on us in the same spot.
I think that's really great that they've been able to take something that is a serious problem for other people and turn it into their logo.
Turn it into a little joke.
I'm with Art. I think this is funny, and he's the man.
Are you guys all still tight?
Yeah, we still talk. I mean, it's not as tight as it should be, but we're still in contact.
Have any of you gone back and had it lasered off?
No.
Okay. All right.
We always said that we'll always look back at it, so.
Handicap for life.
Yep.
and I hope that somehow there's a tragic bus accident and you all end up in a wheelchair. Aww. Wouldn't that be cool? Wouldn't that just be the coolest, though?
Come on, now.
That was the mark. If you put a wheelchair in, you have to ruin everything. End up in one. I'm just saying.
There's a guy that hates the handicap. Listen to him.
I do hate the handicap. Yeah. Let's go to line four. Let's talk to our man Chewy, who we haven't heard from in a while. Gee, what a shock that Chewy has an unusual tattoo.
Hey, Chew.
What's up, guys? Hey, Lisa.
Hi.
What do you got? Matching tattoos?
About 20 years ago, me and a bunch of buddies of mine all went to a tattoo parlor. And we each got a skull off the Guns N' Roses Appetite for Destruction album. Oh.
Okay, at the time.
Okay, so five of us went, but when we got there, one of us backed out, so we only got four skulls.
Okay.
Out of all the friends, he's the only one that I'm in contact with right now. All the other three guys are across the country and never seen him. Haven't seen him in 15 years.
Wow.
All right, let me ask you this. When Guns N' Roses became a little bit of a joke a few years ago, did you ever regret the tattoo, or were they still so cool 20 years ago that you were able to wear that tattoo with pride?
Wait a minute. 20 years ago, they were cool.
Right. Absolutely. Coolest fan in the world 20 years ago, but I'm saying 2 years ago, were you still rocking the Guns N' Roses tattoo with pride?
No, I had that since covered up. I think I was the only one that had it covered up because it's about the size of a silver dollar.
So a good choice or a bad choice?
It was a terrible choice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was horrendous.
All right.
Very funny. Thanks, Chew.
Sorry. Bye.
You know, you can go wrong with it. I mean, Guns N' Roses, that's not as embarrassing as I'm sure a lot of musical tattoos. I bet there are people who thought, you know, they had a favorite song on the radio, and they thought, this is going to be my favorite song forever. I'm going to love this singer forever.
Or my favorite band, yeah.
Or my favorite band. And then it ends up, you know, at the time, Vanilla Ice was awesome, but wow, what am I doing now?
Think about
Guns N' Roses is not nearly as bad as that.
Think about how many thousands of people 10 years ago got Limp Bizkit tattoos.
Perfect example.
Ooh, yeah.
Perfect example. Seemed awesome at the time. Wow, what was I thinking is what you're saying now.
Yeah, it doesn't work out quite so well. All right, let's go to Stephanie. We're running out of time, but Stephanie, hi there.
Hi, good morning.
So you got a matching tattoo with who?
With my boyfriend.
Okay.
We got it after about 4 months of dating. We had gone to Vegas on a Halloween trip and came back with matching crown tattoos on our wrist.
Crown? Like Crown
White,
Royale?
White crown?
No, it's like a simple like 3-point crown.
Like you would wear if you were the Queen of England?
No, Stephanie actually means the crowned one, and he was really influenced by an artist named Basquiat who would incorporate that crown in several of his paintings.
And that makes, by confusing me like that, that makes it better?
No.
Okay.
But, I mean, it makes it special, and we've been going on 3 years now of dating, so it was definitely a good choice.
Now, in the event that you guys do break up, because clearly he won't marry you, then do you regret the crown?
No.
You don't?
No, because it's not going to say, like, his name or anything on it.
Yeah.
It's just a crown.
Again,
won't it make you think, I mean, obviously it's something you two did together that means something special to you two. Isn't going to make you think of him forever, even after you haven't seen him in 20 years?
Well, I'm hoping that he'll still be there in 20 years.
No, I'm sorry. I think Tiger Woods has a better chance of his marriage than you do.
Oh, Bean, you don't know.
Oh, you don't know.
You don't even know.
Stephanie, thank you for calling.
Thanks, have a good day.
Thank you, bye. Wow.
All right. We have to clear the lines right now. I wish we had time for more because we got some great tattoo calls. But there's a good reason why we're clearing the lines, because you can use the same phone number, 1-800-520-1067, if you would like to compete for tickets for night number two of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show. This is Muse, 311, Slightly Stupid, Phoenix, Bravery, Metric, Vampire Weekend, Cage the Elephant, and White Rabbits. Those tickets are yours if you can play the game. We've cooked up for you next, coming up right after this on the Kevin and Bean Show. As you know, big concerts are this weekend. The Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 show Saturday and Sunday completely sold out, raising lots of great money for charity. But we continue to give away tickets all this week. In fact, we got some you can earn right now at 1-800-520-1067 if you'd like to be a contestant on Hawking the Hits.
A guy who's lean, a guy who's clean, a guy who talks with a machine. It's time for Stephen Hawking Now. Stephen Hawking Now. It's time for Hawking the Hits.
Stephen Hawking.
Hey, Professor, how are you today?
Hello, Kevin and Bean.
Now, Professor Hawking, for folks who don't know, is a best-selling author, Brief History of Time, among his many works. He is a theoretical physicist, had something to do with black holes. I never really understood it. Is that right, Doctor?
Why the hole gotta be black?
Right, exactly. But you're also a big fan of the rock and roll music.
Love rock and
you love the rock.
Roll.
And, of course, you can't speak because of the Lou Gehrig's disease, so you talk through a computer. But that hasn't stopped you from getting down, right?
Or getting laid.
Really? Wow, all right.
I want to go to your concert and knock boots backstage with some oddies.
We'd be delighted to have you. Of course, you're welcome to come on in. Sure.
Can you knock boots?
I knock wheels.
I don't know how that works. Okay.
All right. So, Professor, you're going to be singing some songs that will be performed on stage on Sunday night. And all the person on the phone has to do is tell us what title and artist you're performing. Is that right?
Yes.
All right. Let's begin with Carlos, who's a student at Cal State Northridge. Hi, Carlos.
What a dude, nephew.
And to you as well. All right, listen up. Here's Professor Hawking. He's got a song for you.
All right.
They will not force us.
Muse Uprising.
That's good that I played that. Yes, it is Muse Uprising.
Good job.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Well done.
I don't think he wanted to hear you sing much longer.
I enjoyed it, though.
All right, let's go to Jen, who works at an elementary school. Hi, Jen.
Hi.
You live too far away. Your voice rings like a bell anyway. Don't give up your independence unless it feels so right.
311?
Yes.
Song title? One of their biggest?
Independence?
Oh, Professor.
No.
Sorry, it's
Professor Hawking was singing Amber was the song.
I got clean.
Stop playing that theme.
I can't
play that.
Stop.
Hey, Dr. Hawking, who's there laughing there in the background?
That's Omar.
Oh, all right.
My teaching assistant.
Let's go to Chris. We have a new system in the studio, and we have not exactly mastered it yet.
Well, stop it.
Okay, we will. Chris, hi.
What to do, white devil?
It seems like Professor Hawking is in a wheelchair, yet he's going to kick your ass, Kevin. I don't know how this is going to happen, but it sounds bad.
I know how the universe works, and you can't push a button.
That's correct, yes.
That's a good point.
That is correct.
All right, Chris, listen up. Dr. Hawking's got another song for you.
All the reason that I'm holding all the trees, and I got a lot of weed, they be spotting me with infrared in the mood I'm in. And
Slightly Stupid, 3 a.m.
You were close enough.
Look, 2 a.m., 3 a.m.
When you're stoned, it's all the same.
Sometime in the morning.
Sometime, yeah. All right.
All right, Chris, you are in the drawing. Callie is going to pick a winner at the end of the segment. Who's our next contestant?
We have Robert, who's a file clerk. Hi, Robert.
Hey, good morning.
Say hi to Stephen Hawking.
Hi, Stephen.
Hey.
Hey.
Here's your song.
It's 20 seconds till the last call going, hey, 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 lie down. You know it's easy like we did it all summer long. And I'll be anything you ask and more going, hey, 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 hey.
Omar,
hey,
hit him in the back of the chair.
Hey. Hey.
All right. Robert, what song is the professor doing there?
Phoenix 1901?
Yes.
Hey, we figured it out. These are good contestants today, by the way.
Yeah, that's...
Wow, serious. All right, we got time for one more?
Yeah, let's go to Amber, an office manager. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
Say hi to the professor.
Hi, professor.
Hello.
Here's your song.
What are you wearing?
No, we don't. We can't get into that right now, Stephen.
Come on, give the drummer some.
Are you the drummer? I was unaware of your drumming skills.
The faces all around me, they don't smile. They just crack, waiting for our ship to come. But our ship's not coming back. We do our time like pennies in a jar. What are we saving for?
Amber?
That was very funky, Stephen.
Is it big, the bravery?
Big, yes, yes.
It is, yes.
And it's I am your skin?
Oh, it's so sad.
It's Believe.
Believe.
This one. Yeah.
All right, so do we need a drawing or do we just have one winner? What do we got here?
No, we need a drawing.
No, we need a drawing.
We have more than one. I can't keep track of how many
you
we got.
You guys are smart.
All right, we have a winner, and it is Robert.
Robert. All right, that's the last guy we talked to. Robert, mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Right on. Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much. You will be in the pit for night number two.
So will I.
I'm not sure the pit.
I will be in the pit.
I'm not sure the pit is where you need to be.
Rolling over some feet.
I don't think maybe that's helpful, but thank you.
I will mosh the F out of you.
Thank you,
Stephen
Professor.
Stephen Hawking.
Look, I don't care how much I love a celebrity. I don't know that I want to wear a perfume or a fragrance or a cologne with that celebrity's DNA in it. I don't know that's important to me. Mm-hmm.
Please, like you
wouldn't be wearing Zac Efron's DNA.
You'd be all over
every
that.
Chance you got. Well, maybe Zac Efron. All right, maybe you're right. Well, anyway, we're going to tell you how that is now possible, and we'll talk to the guy behind it coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for a Tuesday. What's going on?
Well, we have an update on Rivers Cuomo's condition.
Oh, good.
Oh, yeah. If you go to the band's website, they talk about the accident and their cancellation of the rest of the Ratitude tour. And what's going on with Weezer, and it's worse than we were led to believe initially. Rivers was said to have minor injuries. I guess these are considered minor, but they're still internal injuries, and they're both reasonably serious. He's got a lacerated spleen.
Oh, boy.
Small cut on the spleen, which was...
I don't know what that does, but it sounds serious.
Your spleen is important to cleansing your blood.
Oh, just
you
that?
You use that for that.
Okay.
The spleen was leaking, but no longer is. Apparently, it's on the mend. His blood pressure has stabilized, and he did have a small puncture in his lung.
Wow.
Apparently, that wasn't severe enough to collapse the lung fully, so no surgery was needed for that. But he does have to be monitored carefully to avoid any fluid buildup in the lungs. So
hey, the fact that he's still in the hospital days later indicates it's a little more serious than I was led to believe at the very beginning, initial reports.
Yeah. Turns out you need your lungs and your spleens and whatnot.
Yeah.
Congratulations to Hulk Hogan. He's engaged to his girlfriend who looks exactly like his daughter.
Oh,
which
so
is
creepy.
Yeah.
It really is.
And his wife's dating the friend of the daughter who's 19 years old, some dude. And this is just what happens when you give white trash money. I've always said there's a reason white trash should stay poor. So they don't F up things up when they get money. Because look at them. Look how they behave. Try to give them a few nice things and see what happens.
Yeah.
They get fake tans. They grow big handlebar blonde mustaches. And they marry girls that look like their daughters.
All right, you got to be cool and eat fruit.
You be cool and eat fruit, by the way, mister.
Let me ask you guys this question. If you were the Hulk's age, which is what?
He's around 56 years old.
Okay, 56 years old. And you got some fame and you got some money. Would you date and marry 19, 20, 21-year-old girls?
I may date
them. I don't think I would.
I wouldn't marry them.
I'm going to have to go with yes on both.
You wouldn't marry this girl.
But not at somebody who looks like your daughter. That is creepy. I mean,
she's got to be in her 20s. She looks just like Brooke.
Yeah, that's creepy.
Maybe he likes young blonde women, though.
Fine.
Maybe that's his type.
All right. That's creepy.
Knock it out. Knock boots all day long, but don't marry them.
Don't marry them.
Just so wrong on every level.
Yes.
Hulk, how do you feel about it? How do you feel about this whole relationship and getting married?
I think it's awesome, brother.
Why do I bother? Why do I bother?
I don't know.
Bean gave us that was one of his best efforts.
But can't he try to come up with a little something, some material that resembles something humorous
Have
sometime?
Have you worked with us before?
I know. Look, hope springs eternal. That's my bad. Jennifer Hudson, Oscar-winning actress.
Fat.
Is apparently going to play Winnie Mandela in a new movie.
I don't think she's ugly, by the way.
Yeah, she's not Chewbacca.
She's not.
Dong.
She's not.
She's fat,
ugly.
But I think she's pretty.
I do, too. Okay. Look, what do you got?
I'm talking about Bean.
I didn't throw the gong or the Chewbacca.
Bean did both.
All right. Do we have a reverse Chewbacca? Can we take it back?
You know what? We tried to make one, but
It sounds exactly the same
as forward.
Okay, yeah. All right. I take it back.
She's going to play Winnie Mandel in a new movie, and apparently South African actors are not too happy about that. As you can imagine, Winnie's sort of a national treasure in South Africa. The wife, of course, of Nelson Mandela.
Did they complain about Morgan Freeman also playing Nelson Mandela?
I don't know if they did or not, but the Creative Workers Union told the New York Times that using foreign actors to tell South African stories undermines their nation's own film industry, which I think they've got a legitimate bitch there. President of the union says that unless Jennifer is replaced with a South African actress, however, the production of the movie will be disrupted by the union.
Wow.
Sounds like
business.
Game on. Apparently, the head of the union is also concerned that South Africa does not have enough food to have Jennifer Hudson make a movie in their country, they said.
Can you read my mind? Can you tell what I'm thinking right now? I'm thinking, shut up and get a salad.
They don't raise the kind of crops, and they don't have the kind of land, the livestock that we have here in the U.S. They don't have those sort of natural resources.
Yeah, that's true.
Can you imagine what it takes to feed her every day?
It's true.
I think they've got a point.
Fat.
Ew.
Ooh, that was a wet one.
And Alicia Cuthbert is in the news.
Fat.
Oh, how
she
dare you.
She is not. She's lovely. She is joining the cast of the ABC TV series The Forgotten. No, don't say, I can't wait till that show comes on the air. It's already on the air.
The Forgotten?
Stars Christian Slater as the leader of The Forgotten Network.
What? Nope.
A group of amateur detectives.
Nope.
That find people who are missing.
This is on the Lisa Mae Network after Brothers and Sisters, right?
Forgotten. It's airing. It's on television. Listen, Hollywood.
Where?
Stop putting Christian Slater on my television set. How many times do I have to ignore his television programs before you realize I don't want to watch him?
What network has The Forgotten?
It is ABC, my friend.
I get ABC. I watch ABC. How do I not know about it?
Are you not watching The Forgotten?
If I am, I forgot.
Oh, man.
Does Mr. Slater have any comments?
Yeah. Yeah, he does. Too bad he didn't tell us what they were. Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger is 56 years old today. Terry Hatcher is 45. Sinead O'Connor is 43. Dominic Monaghan, Lost, Lord of the Rings. Flash forward. Let's not forget also boyfriend of Kate from Lost.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right.
There is that.
The lovely Kate
Evangeline
from Lost. Evangeline Lilly.
Yes.
You're turning into me.
33 years old. At least I got Kate from Lost. You wouldn't have gotten that much. Ian Somerhalder is 31 years old today. And I've got some tickets to give away real quick.
Okay.
For Avatar. We're having a special screening of the James Cameron movie that's going to change the way they make movies. Hype on this film has been going on for a couple years now, Avatar.
Looks pretty cool.
The special effects extravaganza starring some people you don't really know, but James Cameron's the director, and that's all you need to know. If you want to go see it before anybody else, we're having a special advanced screening. Call now. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. First five callers through get a four-pack of tickets for our special advanced screening of Avatar.
Are you the guy that directed The Abyss?
Yes.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. Whatever. Moving on. Let's give away some gravy.
Come on.
That's what Kevin said later on in that show. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Chili Peppers on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Anthony Kiedis, how are you spending the holidays? You got any special plans for this special time of year?
Smack it a wang dang wackadoom bong dong. California, swagadoom.
Okay. All right. That's exactly what I figured. Coming up this hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, by the way, you're not going to believe it, but there's a new R. Kelly song. Our favorite R&B singer, who did, of course, Trapped in the Drive-Thru, is back with a brand new song about how he wants to get you pregnant. We've got highlights of that for you coming up later this hour.
I want to get you pregnant is the song.
Is that a line that works, Lisa? Is that sexy when a guy says, I want to get you pregnant?
It's
a guy that you just meet?
Sexy to the people I know.
Yeah.
Okay.
At all. How many kids does he have, by the way? Do we know?
All.
He does have
them. Exactly.
All right. Speaking of pregnant, that brings us to our next topic, which is DNA. Let's face it. We all have it. We all leave it everywhere. Now there's a way to turn it into something that may be a special gift for you or someone in your life. We're talking about the DNA fragrance. DNAfragrance.com is the name of the website. If you want to play along on the Kevin and Bean home game, we'll talk to the CEO of the company right now. Carlton Enoch joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Carlton.
Hey, how you doing there, Kevin and Bean?
We are good.
We're doing great. So if I understand correctly, the thumbnail explanation of what DNA Fragrance is all about is a perfume that is custom made with the customer's DNA in mind.
That's correct. My DNA Fragrance takes your genetic code, which is a series of numbers, and custom makes a fragrance for you, cologne or perfume.
Now, why? I mean, is it the reason that you would buy perfume or some kind of cologne or something is because so you don't smell like you?
That's a good point.
Well, actually, you won't smell like you. DNA is not in the fragrance. It is the codes that actually make a personalized fragrance that is actually licensed by you. I mean, many people go out in the store and they buy a fragrance with someone else's name on it,
right,
which actually has no personal connection to them.
Right.
So but for the same price, you can have something made for you that no one can duplicate.
But DNA, does it even have a scent?
DNA does not have
a scent. No, it's just numbers. So then how is it unique? Or
so does it smell like anything?
Well, again, I want to emphasize, my DNA fragrance does not put the DNA in the fragrance. What we do is we take those genetic numbers, and it's proprietary or secret, but we take those numbers and design a fragrance especially for you, and we like to say by you, actually.
Okay, so Carlton, let me ask you this then. If you have 10,000 customers this holiday season who all make DNA perfume or cologne for themselves or their friends, are they all different? Is each as individual as DNA?
Yes. Every single fragrance will be different. The genetic code is just like a Social Security number. Everyone has a different Social Security number. Everyone has a different code.
I find it hard to believe that you could make that many fragrances that smell different, though.
But that's because they don't really.
Well, let me give you an idea. There are over 30,000 different perfumes on the market today.
Okay.
So, people have been making perfume for, 3,000 years since the Egyptians?
Right.
Okay. What makes perfume different is the mixture. Now, let me tell you, in today's world, every perfume or cologne that they make that is commercialized has alcohol and ethanol in it.
Yeah.
Our fragrance does not have alcohol nor ethanol. Our cologne is based on aloe vera, and our perfume is based on jojoba oil. So that gives it a difference altogether.
Yeah, because we can't drink it if we get desperate. That's the downside of yours. All right, let me ask you this, Carlton. Give me an example. Like, do you have your own cologne with your DNA?
I do.
Okay, what's it smell like?
Well, let me tell you, the fragrances have sometimes, a normal fragrance would have maybe 10 or 15 or 12 notes in it.
Right.
Our fragrance can have as much as 30 or 40 notes.
Okay.
And that's what gives it those unique smells, because we take more than 12 fragrances and mix them together.
But the DNA has nothing to do with the fragrance.
The DNA is not in the fragrance. It is just designed by your genetic code or your numbers.
Those words don't mean anything.
I know. I don't understand what that
means. That is a meaningless sentence.
Well, let me, tenuous connection at best.
Yeah, what does it mean?
Well, let me tell you what we did. We have, you go to mydnafragrance.com and you click on antiquity. We have created a fragrance line based on some of the most historical people in the world, from Michael Jackson to George Washington.
Yes.
Hey, I'm on that page right now, and I'm wondering what the demand is this holiday season for the Lyndon Johnson DNA perfume.
Just being. Okay, so you've gone back and you've made perfumes based on celebrities.
Yes.
Okay. And those smell how, and how are they different, and what makes them unique about that? Just a series of numbers?
Yes. Well, what makes them unique, if you go in a store and you buy a bottle with a famous person's name on it, that's just a perfumer somewhere who mixed a couple of fragrances together and slapped their name on it to encourage you to buy it.
Right.
What makes ours unique is we actually take something personal from the individual and design it from that. And that which is, can't be any more personal than your DNA.
Okay, but that DNA and all of that information that you get from that person has nothing to do with the scent.
Yes, it does. Because without those numbers, we couldn't match it to the DNA of other fragrances in order to make the combination.
I'm not smart enough to understand this, but I have a question. Let me squeeze in a phone call.
Okay.
Let's say hi to Cindy. Hi, Cindy.
Hello.
You have a question as far as...
I do. I actually have a Dave Grohl drumstick from his Roxy performance,
And I was smelling it, you know, to try and smell him. Is there any way you can get DNA out of it?
That's a great question. Could she send you the drumstick, and then you can take the essence of Dave?
Yeah.
The reason why I doubt if it can be done probably because it's probably been handled by so many people we couldn't be able to distinguish. It's already contaminated.
Only her. Only Sydney and Dave. So maybe that's a unique couple that you could make.
Maybe we can try it. We can certainly try it.
All right.
That actually brings up my next point. We're almost out of time here, Carlton. And that is, if people want to buy the DNA fragrance, DNAfragrance.com, do they send you an item that has DNA on it? I mean, would they swab their cheek like they do on CSI?
Similar. They would go to MyDNAFragrance.com. They would make their order. We send them a swab kit. Mm-hmm. It's like a Q-tip. They just rub the inside of their cheek, put it in an envelope, and mail it back.
You know none of those are from the inside of the cheek, right?
We're all using our butts, Carlton. You know that, right?
You know for a fact there's more people like us that go, nope, not coming from my cheek.
Hey, I tell you what, why don't we do something? Why don't you guys we'll send you some swab kits.
Nope.
We'll make some fragrance for you.
Yeah.
And you can talk about your fragrance
okay.
on the air.
Listen,
no.
Carlton, I am dumb. I don't understand what you're saying. To me, it seems like it's a total scam, and I want to know if there's a link that I could click on to name a star after someone, too.
Plus, you're going to end up making lots of Kevin and Bean babies if we send you our DNA. We don't want that to happen at all. All right, listen, we're out of time. The website, again, is mydnafragrance.com. It sounds effing shaky to me, but if you want to check it out, please do. Carlton Enoch, thanks a lot for joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great holiday season.
Thank you. You guys got a wonderful show. I appreciate being on.
Thank you, bud.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show, minutes away, again, from the debut on the Kevin and Bean Show, the new R. Kelly song. You won't want to miss it. We keep listening to it off the air. We can't wait to hear
He's
it.
He's genius.
He's the best. All right, let's talk about a show you have no interest in. They had it this week at the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C. It's called the Kennedy Center Honors, and it's been going on for about 40 years. It's one of those, it's a party where the president comes out, and he and the first lady get dressed up, and they have a distinguished guest that show up, and they honor ordinary citizens. So they basically say, hey, you've contributed a lot to America because you're a tremendous artist, so we're going to give you a prize.
And this year, for celebrities.
It's for people who become famous because they're famous because of their contribution to the arts.
Oh, okay.
But for instance, this year they said, hey, Robert De Niro, thanks for being an American. Here's a prize. They also honored the filmmaker Mel Brooks this year. And our friend Bruce Springsteen was also at the Kennedy Center. He got a nod from the president. I believe the president had something very nice to say about him.
And the final honor of the night, rocker Bruce Springsteen.
I'm the president, but he's the boss.
Come on.
Nice.
Bruce, congratulations on the honor from the president, and thank you for joining us again on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, thanks so much. Appreciate the kind words.
Certainly, yeah. You've been you're 60 years old. You've been a performer for most of your life. You had a big party in D.C. Saturday night, a State Department dinner. You got to meet the president. It must have felt like a crowning achievement for you.
Yeah, I'll tell you, starting out in the little clubs in New Jersey, I never thought I'd end up at a state dinner with the President of the United States and all these other people in uncomfortable-looking tuxedos looking at me.
Yeah.
So it was a dream come true, really, for a guy from Jersey just playing guitar. And now all of a sudden getting one of these awards really was something.
Sure. So how do you celebrate something like that? I mean, you had the party with the president. You must have been on quite a high when the evening ended.
You know, I remember being at the awards dinner, and I was just backstage. And
right.
I remember looking across the room and seeing President Obama and his wife, Michelle. And I said, look at that, America's first African-American president.
Right.
Right.
And, you know, it was a time when people wouldn't consider that even possible. Yet here I was looking at it, receiving an award from that president.
Right.
And I went up to his wife and I said, you know, Lincoln freed the slaves, and I'm about to take one back. And I grabbed her by the hand and I took her to the Lincoln bedroom.
No, this didn't happen.
Michelle and I decided to make sweet love that night.
I don't think that's true.
And when I tiptoed out of the Lincoln bedroom after I exhausted her,
that didn't happen.
I ran into De Niro in the hallway.
Right.
Who had done the same thing with Hillary Clinton.
Is that right?
And I said to Bob, hey, what do you say we go find that Grace Brumbry, who won the award for opera, and show her a thing or two. Make the wobbly H.
Really?
So Bobby and I crept down the hallway.
In the White House.
In the White House.
None of this happened.
Found that old opera singer broad, and she wasn't up for it.
Really?
So we had to bludgeon her to death.
Oh, God.
Come on.
Picked up a bust of Benjamin Franklin.
That's not...
We would have smashed across the crown of her head.
Is this... That's ridiculous.
Her brains were all over the carpet.
Oh, Bruce, come on.
That didn't happen.
None of it said... Look, I'm parked in the back. Let's throw in the trunk.
That didn't happen either.
Get some shovel and a bag of lye.
None of that happened.
Take her out and put her in a shallow grave near the Potomac.
That's ridiculous.
Oh, Bruce, come on.
So De Niro and I hit the road, driving down that lonely highway towards the Potomac River.
Right.
We realized Mel Brooks had been sleeping in the trunk.
What?
Apparently, he got a load on. Being an old Jew, he doesn't hold his booze too well.
Are right? you sure any of these details?
Turns out he was in the back seat and saw the whole thing.
Wow.
Uh-oh. So what'd you have to do?
Of course, we can't have any witnesses.
Right.
So we tied him to a rock.
Right.
Threw him in the Potomac River.
Oh, you killed Mel Brooks.
That didn't happen either.
Watched as the air bubbles finally ended and he slowly Very slipped sad. Below the surface.
None of that happened, Bruce.
He said, "We love Blazing Saddles." We don't think he heard us.
Because he was drowning.
Because he was drowning.
Yeah.
And after Bobby and I buried that opera singer abroad, the sun started to rise.
That none of that happened.
Over the Washington Monument.
Right.
That must have been beautiful.
Feeling patriotic. We went down to the diner and ordered some ham and eggs. Laughed about how our lives had turned out.
Well, I wouldn't have seen that one coming either.
Yeah.
Congratulations, boss. Yeah, I bet you are.
Yeah. Well,
you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. By the way, our friend Travis Barker joins us on the show next hour talking about an event that he and Snoop Dogg are doing tonight in Hollywood. So stick around for that. Love Travis, one of our all-time favorite guests.
Do you love him as much as R. Kelly?
Well, R. Kelly is the greatest musical entertainer of my generation. R. Kelly, for folks who don't listen to pop or R&B radio, is a superstar. He has sold millions of records. He's had dozens of hit singles, lots of number ones.
He's the I Believe We Can Fly guy, right?
That's the right. That's guy. He's
okay.
The guy.
All right.
He's the guy, yeah.
He's the guy that peed on the girls in the video?
Well,
yes. Underage?
Allegedly, yes, even though we all saw it on video, and it was clearly him, and it was clearly her, and she was clearly underage, he was still acquitted. Yes, that's the guy we're talking about.
Okay.
He's immensely popular with a certain segment of the audience. And he's got a new album out called Untitled, which shows just a little bit of how original he is. And his new song that was brought to our attention by our friend Kat Corbett yesterday, who we know and love, is called Pregnant. And how can any woman resist Pregnant by R. Kelly? A guy says this to you when you meet him at a nightclub, then you're his, right?
Yeah, slow jam. R. Kelly.
Girl, you make me want to get you pregnant.
Okay, now, at that point, are we good still? I mean, is that a good opening line, girl, I want to get you pregnant?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Lisa,
now,
a guy comes up to you and says, I want to get you pregnant. Is that like, all right, thumbs
that
up?
That is not at all what I am looking for
so
when
that's
I
not
meet
it.
A guy in a club.
He doesn't say, I want to get you pregnant. He says, girl, you make me want to get you pregnant.
What
you
he
make,
says.
You're making me. It's not my fault.
Now, when I first heard that first line of the song, I thought, well, you know, this is the type of thing that can be very emotional and loving in a relationship with your wife of 10 years, and now you've decided, I love you so much. I can't wait to make a child with you and raise a family. I love you. I love
Unless
you. I love
you're
you.
R. Kelly, right.
And then I realize he's just talking about some chick that he's trying to bang in a nightclub. Now, that's where it becomes inappropriate.
Hey, you make me want to get you pregnant. Lay your body down and get you pregnant.
You are pregnant.
This is the background singers.
Knock you up.
Are you kidding me?
Knock you up.
Put it down and get you pregnant.
Knock you up.
Pregnant.
Now usually I lead a...
All right, now here's where he begins to tell the story. I'm R. Kelly, and I am a superstar, and here's how I normally roll.
Okay.
But this is why you're different in that you're making me want you to make you pregnant, or whatever you say.
Usually I lead a club with a girl who has a man, and take her to a hotel for just a one night stand. See, I'm a player, so I ain't trying to take her on no dates. But much like my patrol man, I'm just trying to take it straight.
Come on!
Much like my Patron, man. I'm just trying to take it straight. So he has basically said, look, I've been a dog. I know that my MO is usually come to the club, meet a chick, even if she's with another
dude.
Who
has a boyfriend, right?
Has a boyfriend. Then I take her to the hotel and I bang her. I'm not interested in dating her. I'm just out there to get laid. But that was before I met you.
Until I met this girl in the club with an unbelievable booty. Sweetest girl in the world to me. And on top of that, she's a cutie.
Yes, he did. He rhymed booty and cutie.
He's so romantic.
That happened. And by the way, correct me if I'm wrong, the women love him.
Yes, they do.
Certain women in a certain segment of society do love him.
The ones where hot Cheetos are prevalent?
Exactly.
And by the way, any songwriter of any note is going to look at booty and cutie
and go, say no.
And say, A, no, I'm not going to make that rhyme. And B, neither of those words should ever be in a song in 2009. Both of those words are so horribly dated, right?
On their own, let alone.
Oh, my God.
All right, let's continue.
I ain't seen nothing like her around here in a while. And if I had a girl, she'd be the one to bear my child. Telling myself I'm a player, so I keep trying to shake it off.
Now he's having a big argument within his mind. Oh, no, I'm a player. I don't want to get her pregnant. No. No, I can't do that. I have standards. I'm a player.
But I keep seeing this big old house with a picket fence and a dog. Never felt nothing like this. She's more than a mistress. I'm about to handle my business. Then put that girl in my kitchen.
He's gonna play.
She's just cool.
R. Kelly is going to put that girl in his kitchen.
Is she pregnant and barefoot as well?
Yes, of course.
Of course she is.
You know, the name of the song is Pregnant.
Lucky girl.
Of course.
But look, Lisa, isn't it? Tell me, you got to give us the female perspective here. It's a compliment if a guy says, I think you're more than a mistress. I think I'm going to put you in the kitchen.
I want to put a baby in you.
Let's talk to Heather because this is very important. Hi, Heather.
Hi there. I'm just calling. Is this a Kevin and Bean joke or is this really an R. Kelly song?
That is the best part about it, is that this is R. Kelly
and
we had nothing to do with it except airing it. How awesome is that?
It's awful.
I mean,
didn't he write a song about braids?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he sure did.
Braid my hair, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, sure.
Yeah, he's a poet, man.
Awful. How dare you, Heather? He's a poet of our generation.
Heather,
wasn't he involved with children? Mm-hmm. Like, it's probably not so appropriate.
If you mean by children, you mean godchildren. Wasn't it, Bean? Weren't they his godchildren?
Yes, there was godchildren, and they were like, and I think one of them was a niece. I mean, he's got a long history of stuff that he has managed to escape prosecution for. But you have to admit, I mean, the guy's immensely popular, millions of albums, millions of fans. This is the kind of song he puts out. Heather, what's the deal with this guy? Why do people love him so much?
I hate him.
Oh, Heather.
And by the way, Heather, as much trouble as the Kevin and Bean show has had, especially with parody songs, we would never have enough balls to make something like this.
They would never.
That's what I thought.
It really does sound like a parody. I mean, if we tried to parody it, there's no way to do it. All right. We have another 5 minutes left in this. Thank you for the call, Heather.
At least he's pithy.
We have 5 minutes. We have five more minutes of this song, but we don't have time to play it.
But well, what's he thinking?
We're gonna have to leave the cutie with the booty in the kitchen.
Okay. But when we come back tomorrow, by the way, not only is R. Kelly continuing to make his move, but he brings on his friend Tyrese, who's a very popular model, actor, and singer. And Tyrese talks about how he gets chicks, too. So it just gets better from this point on. So we'll have to do Pregnant Part 2 for you tomorrow right here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 8:57.
Next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show, not only do we talk to Travis Barker from Blink 182, but Ralph, we found a contact person for the Christmas party, the Thursday afternoon lobby Christmas party.
Awesome.
So we're going to get some details to make sure we understand just how great that party is scheduled to be.
I'm sure I got it wrong. I'm sure everyone's meeting in the lobby before you get into the private jet.
Yes.
That they've rented, and then we're all
go to
flying
Bora Bora
off to some small island off the coast of Pago Pago.
Because it can't be Punch and Chex Mix, which is what it seems like based on the invitation that we received.
You're lucky
punch.
To get Chex Mix.
Yeah. You're getting a bottle of Sparklets. Water, like the big ones they put on top of the coolers, but like no cooler. Just they're going to rip the top off it, and you got to stick a straw in and just drink all you can drink.
But you have to share
and move
with everyone there.
Take a turn, and that's it. Yeah.
Anyway, so we got an update on that. Plus, like I said, Travis Barker next there. Right now, Ralph's got another look at the showbiz beat for a Tuesday on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
It's Engagemania today.
A lot of people
getting engaged. I mentioned Hulk Hogan.
Sure.
Engaged to his 20-something girlfriend, looks exactly like his daughter, Brooke.
You.
Which is creepy.
Yeah.
And you. Congratulations to Eddie Vedder. He is engaged to his longtime girlfriend, model Jill McCormick. By the way, I don't know if you know Jill, but there's a photo of Jill and
just so
Eddie together. Yeah. She is a stunner.
Yeah.
And Eddie, of course, is still doing a community theater production of Robin Hood, apparently, somewhere.
He does have the...
What the hell?
He does have the beard and hair.
It's like sort of a goatee, but not quite. It's sort of a... It looks a little like Shakespeare.
If you didn't know Pearl Jam and you saw him on the street, you'd go, that's a homeless guy.
Yeah.
I hope he doesn't ask me for money. You give him a buck, yeah.
Yeah, so congratulations. No word on the actual wedding plans. But it is the second marriage for Eddie, who divorced his first wife, Beth, in 2000. Apparently they were there in Washington honoring Springsteen for the Kennedy Awards. That's where this photo was taken. That
I hope they weren't dragged in.
By the way.
Yeah, I hope Eddie Vedder didn't get dragged in any of that, killing that chick and throwing her in the river. I'll tell you that.
I love one-hit wonders almost more than anything, more than life itself. And, of course, as we end the end of a decade, can you believe it's been the 2000s for a decade?
No.
Seems like just the other day I was at a New Year's Eve party at Kevin's house.
You were?
To celebrate the new millennium.
And how were you experiencing that?
I was knocking it out in your bathroom. I was banging it out with my girlfriend at the time in your bathroom, ringing in the new year.
Nice.
Yep. We had to burn it to the ground.
You did not
start from scratch.
You bronzed it and made it a shrine is what you did.
That was yesterday, though.
It was yesterday.
Yeah.
But no, a decade has flown by.
That's crazy.
And so Billboard has given us the list of the top five one-hit wonders of the decade.
Love it.
These are people who had smash hit songs, had a lot of promise, and then were never heard from again. Let me give you some quick clips of the top five one-hit wonders of the 2000s, shall we? Here's number five. Remember D4L with Laffy Taffy?
Oh, sure.
Remember Laffy Taffy?
Yeah.
Shake that Laffy Taffy. Laffy Taffy. Shake that Laffy Taffy.
That is high quality.
That's got so much range to it, song.
And the production values.
I listen to that and I go, how is it possible they weren't able to repeat on the charts?
How did the sophomore slump hit those guys with all that talent?
I hope they got signed to a 12-album deal.
You could have made that album with one of those little Casio keyboards for like $19.
Easily. How about Mims? That's Why I'm Hot.
Oh,
this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why, this is why, this is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
Moral story is, if you got five black guys in a room in the 2000s and had them repeat the same thing over and over again, you could have a smash hit.
Pretty much.
But that song goes on to say, I'm hot because I'm fly, you ain't because you not.
That's true.
By the way, those are some lyrics.
Hey, let's not count down the Mims. He could just be taking a break. He still could come back with something. Mims. Come on.
Yeah. How about Crazy Town? Are they just taking a break?
No, they're gone.
Come, my lady. Come, my lady. Yeah. You're my butterfly. Sugar, baby. Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You're my butterfly.
His new project.
Oh, what a punch that guy.
His new project is Dr. Is Drew's.
Doing more heroin?
Is Dr. Drew's rehab show.
Is that his new project?
He stars on that show.
We made fun of that song a lot when it was out. The
yes.
best thing about it is the Chili Peppers sample. The Crazy Town part is awful.
The whole thing, top to bottom, is awful. Number two of the top five one-hit wonders of the decade, Terror Squad with Lean Back.
Do the rock away. Can you hear now me? Lean back. Uh-huh. Lean back. Uh-huh. Lean back. Uh-huh. Lean back. Come on.
Yeah, the Terror Squad.
That guy's out of breath from Ward 1, by the way.
Yeah. And number one, and rightfully so.
Well, are you ready for the big one?
Yes, Casey, I am. The number one one-hit wonder of the decade.
The numbers get smaller, the hits get bigger.
Yes, they do. This is the number one.
Now on with the countdown.
This is the number one one-hit wonder.
The countdown doesn't stop till we hit the top.
All right.
Billboard's number one one-hit.
You made a good guess, but it's not the right one.
No one guessed anything.
All right, what is it, Ralph?
Number one one-hit wonder of the decade, according to Billboard. And I think we're all in agreement that we're at an asphalt this song, right?
Because you had a bad day. You take it one down. You sing a sad song just to turn it around. You say you don't know. You tell me don't lie. You were going to smile and you go for a ride.
Well,
you had a bad day. The camera don't lie. You call me back.
Have we heard enough of that
one? Had a bad day. Daniel
American
Powder.
Idol made that song a hit and also killed it by the countless repetition every single week when somebody was eliminated.
Daniel
what
Powder.
Do you How did they use it in?
Every time someone was voted off, whoever went home, they would play their clip package of their journey, and this would be the song.
Over
they
you
would
had a bad
play.
Day.
Yeah, that was that was their farewell.
F you both for watching that show.
So there you go.
Hey, it's coming back, dude. Coming back.
What happened?
Top five one hit wonders of the 2000s. I would want it more Casey Casey.
It's a great list, though, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Kim Basinger's 56 years old today. Actress Terry Hatcher's 45.
Oh!
Sinead O'Connor's 43 years old today. Dominic Monaghan and Ian Somerhalder, both of Lost, both celebrate a birthday today. Dominic is 33. Ian is 31. And I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
What happened?
Ralph, I love you like a brother.
No.
But I don't feel the holiday spirit from you this week.
I got tons of holiday spirit.
Do you? Because it seems like you're hating on Santa.
I love Santa. I love Christmas. Love the holidays. I was just wrapping presents last night. I felt like a little elf in the workshop. Love it. I had the tunes cracked up. The holidays, the music, I was humming around the house. Couldn't be happier. I don't like when other people don't have the holiday spirit.
Right.
Like our own company.
Well, they did send out an invitation to a party, a Christmas party.
How dare you?
Party's the wrong word.
Yes.
Party's the wrong word.
Event.
Gathering. It's not even an event, really, though. It's just a...
For folks who weren't listening yesterday, what's your beef with the holiday party that we're being asked to attend?
If I read the memo correctly, they're telling us that our holiday party, our chance to get together and share goodwill and celebrate another year's work well done, is being held at an office building on Wilshire Boulevard in the second floor lobby at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right. So clearly that can't be the case. So let's, Mike, dial up this number. Let's try and see if...
I think I've got it wrong.
Yeah, we have to have the details.
Because
wrong.
What kind of corporation, the kind that makes millions and millions of dollars a year, would say to its hardworking staff, come stand in a lobby and have a cookie and a juice box?
Now, wait a minute. I'm in on the juice box.
That's not
this
the
is
holiday
Jackie we're calling, right, who's had nothing to do with planning the party.
Hey, it's Kevin and Bean. We're on the air. How are you, Jackie?
I'm good.
Good.
Hi. Thank you for picking up the phone. We know you probably hate us, so we really appreciate it very much. Ralph had a couple of questions about the memo, I think, that you sent out about the Christmas party, because I don't know whether it was faded in the copy that we got or something, but some of it we just can't quite make out.
Yeah, it's
got
to be a typo, Jackie. You're having us meet at the second floor lobby of the office building, and then where do we go actually for the party is what I was wondering.
That's pretty much it, the second floor lobby.
But then... Well, that's what it says, but
we're gonna gather everyone together at the second floor lobby, and then we're going to what restaurant?
In the area.
There's no restaurant. It's just the second floor lobby.
Okay, buses are gonna be out in front, and then they're gonna take us
to medieval times. Will we joust? Will we joust against Amp?
Sure, I can make that up.
Now we know that you didn't come up with this idea, that you're just an implementer.
But yeah, we're not blaming you at all.
We just want to see if we have the details correct. So it's on a Thursday afternoon at 3.
Yes, that's correct.
Okay.
We all gather in the second floor lobby of an office building.
Now, Ralph was pointing out yesterday that a lobby is a destination. It's not a destination. It's someplace that you go through to get to someplace.
It's like a drive-through window. It's a holding cell. You're there.
You guys are killing me.
You're there only as long as you have to be because you're going to be taken to someplace else.
You're going to a conference room. You're going for a meeting. You're picking something up.
Yes, we are going
to
direct everyone to the conference room.
Are you lying?
You're just making stuff up now.
She is.
He's trying to talk your way out of this.
Okay. Am I allowed to bring my wife of 18 years to this party, Jackie?
Sure, just you. Nobody else.
So no spouses, no dates?
No guests.
Plus one.
Would you bring a guest to the second floor lobby of an office building for a cookie and a thimble full of Sunny D?
We're going to have a really pretty tree.
All right. Is it true that there's no parking between 4 or 7 on Wilshire, out in front of the building?
Time out. We are going to take care of parking for the Venice people.
For the Venice. That's us.
This
oh, wow. You don't have to pay $15 for parking for this party now.
No, you do not
have to. Everything's looking up.
$22 for parking, by the way.
It is, but all right.
Well, take that $22 and throw an actual party instead of paying for my parking.
What a good idea.
Go to someplace that charges $22 a head, throw a real party, and they have free parking there.
Now, Jackie, when they came to you and they said, here's what we want you to do, did you say, why? Did you say, let's just have a day off? Did you say,
Where I didn't say anything. I tried not to answer to make sure.
You just keep your head down, don't you?
Yeah, I'm behaving.
Yeah.
You're just scared. She's scared to death.
She's scared. She has
scared to death of the man.
Does the man have a gun to your head right now?
He has no idea what's going on right now. I'm sure he will.
True of a lot of subjects. Hey, Jackie, tell me about refreshments for the party. Is it open bar, I would imagine?
It is. There you go.
You're a liar, Jackie. So no open bar. About you today.
Well, because it's soda.
No open bar.
It's not soda.
Okay.
What are we drinking?
We get soda?
We will get a packet of emergency and a glass of warm water, and we'll mix it ourselves, and that'll be the beverage.
If we end this right now, I will tell you where the secret bar is.
Hey, that's pretty good offer.
but the Ed's bottom drawer?
No, not Ed's.
Oh, all right. Oh,
but but there's no alcohol planned for the party, right?
No.
Do we have catering? Okay. Someone going to be there making food?
Yeah,
maybe
what about food?
Wolfgang Puck or somebody will be there?
Yes.
Jackie, want to say anything?
We want to get up. I think I love Jackie.
All right, it's going to be a big bowl of trail mix, and it's going to be some warm Fanta.
Yes.
That's what I'm suggesting.
All right. That sounds about right.
10 years ago.
Yes. Jackie, Thursday.
Jackie, do you need to be rescued? Do you need us to send the authorities?
What's that?
No drinks, no food. Thursday afternoon, 3 o'clock, office building, no spouses. We have that right. We are reading the memo correctly. That is the party this year, right?
That is correct. What happened?
Even Ebenezer Scrooge himself would feel the spirit of Christmas after this party.
I hope we get to hang out with a lot of guys who work in AM news. I hope that's also going to be part of the party. It's not just for this station. It's for all the stations, right?
Right.
Well, when you're having something this festive, you don't want to exclude anyone.
How many people does the lobby hold? That's a good question.
I haven't figured that out yet.
Don't worry. You're not going to fill it. You can probably move it to a smaller venue, I'm guessing.
Hang on one second. Let me just take a call from Bob.
Is there a broom closet available?
Jackie, hold on one second. Bob?
Yeah.
Can we help you?
Yeah, I'm a little worried for you guys. It sounds like they're bringing you all together to make some terrible announcement that they're cutbacks, so you're being fired.
They're going
to
fire us all.
Oh,
it's an ambush. It's a firing ambush.
Company.
Bob, don't worry. There's no way they would do that in person. They don't have that kind of spirit.
Well, they're going to be there. There'll be television screens, and they'll
announce. Good point. Wow, you've watched a lot of TV and movies, haven't you, Bob?
Yep. Yeah, our boss from the beach in Hawaii are going to come on and go, hey, glad you're all there. Have a great holiday. You got plenty of time to Christmas shop because you're all out of work.
And then they're going to go, ha, 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 ha. Jackie, is that going to happen?
I'm sorry, what?
Yeah.
She isn't even listening anymore.
Deaf.
She's like doing email.
I'm just wondering if I'm still going to have a job.
Jackie, it's not your fault.
Jackie, you'll be fine.
It's not your fault.
It's not your fault at all. And wherever you go work after you get fired from this place, there's going to have a better party anyway, so it's a win-win.
That's true.
Thank you for talking to us.
We'll never talk to her again.
She's going to cry.
She sounds so sad.
Of course she's sad. Look at her Christmas party she's going to go to.
We need to send in a team of a SWAT team or something to rescue that woman. She's scared for her life.
She needs not go to that party.
She's
got to
go.
No, that'd be funny if she didn't go.
She has to go.
That would be funny if she didn't go.
Yeah. Don't go, Jackie.
All right. Okay, so all the details are correct? Thumbs up?
Yeah, apparently we were right.
We're all in.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show for Tuesday. Our friend Ralph Garman has joined us after he made an employee cry here on the phone a few minutes ago. He's up with the Showbiz Beat.
Look, if she's going to spread the lies, she's going to catch the hell. That's all I'm saying. Got an email here from listener Anna, which I thought was...
Anna?
An excellent theory.
Okay.
I think everyone else is going to a real Christmas party, and just you guys were told to meet in the lobby of the second floor. So that you would not know that everyone else is invited to the real good party.
By the way,
it's like that episode of The Simpsons where they put all the dumb kids in the basement. Ha ha, later, Anna.
If that was the truth, I would applaud them and I would say, well played.
Look, if you were going to divert any group of people to a separate party, wouldn't it be us?
Yeah, of course.
If they were wise, wouldn't they do that?
Of course.
Yeah, so maybe she's right.
We'll find out.
Maybe we're sent to the crappy party, and all the good people are going to like a big soiree with caviar and champagne.
There's not even going to be anyone there. We're just going to go, is this the lobby?
Really?
I can't tell. Yeah. Is this the one?
Next thing you go, boom! Big bomb goes off. It's like Die Hard. We're crawling through broken glass and air conditioning ducts.
They're all high-fiving each other because they finally got rid of us.
Looking for Alan Rickman. Congratulations to Eddie Vedder. He's engaged to his longtime girlfriend, Jill McCormick, who is a model.
And she is delicious.
Yeah.
Eddie and Jill already have two daughters, Olivia and Harper Moon.
Oh. Hmm. Olivia?
Why bother getting married then?
I like Olivia. I think
me too.
Funny.
And then Harper Moon.
You're obviously that having the sex.
Right.
Why bother getting married? Why not just continue to live in sin? Spit right in Jesus' eye like you're doing. Who cares? You know how the people are.
No wonder they don't want to sit at their Christmas party.
I have some friends who, Eddie Vedder lives in West Seattle. I have some friends who see him all the time out and about doing stuff.
Yeah, he does.
Very
things.
Regular guy, very friendly. They say he's just couldn't be a nicer neighbor.
Oh, good.
Cooler dude.
I'm happy. George Michael's in the news, believe it or not.
Uh-oh.
One time half of Wham. One time snoozer behind the wheel of an automobile.
What actually, happened?
More than one time.
For a while there, it was nothing but drug trouble.
He would get stoned, like baked, like just fried, and fall asleep behind the wheel of his car in traffic at like a red light.
Yeah.
Like, and he's just out. Cops would show up, bang on the window, have to haul him in. They'd, you know, talk to him, leave him, let him go again. For some reason, the Brits look very... They're very casual about their pop stars falling asleep in traffic, apparently.
Just look at that butt. That is a tight butt.
They don't end up in jail after multiple offenses, that's for sure.
Yeah. Anyway, George Michael says he doesn't need or want anyone's help, especially Elton John's.
Okay. Why was Elton John going to help?
Elton John apparently spoke out publicly about George's decline, you know. The fact that personally and professionally he has sort of fallen off the radar. You have to remember, George Michael at one time was the biggest star in the world.
He was.
He was.
There was a moment where he was white hot. Elton John said, to see him now is tragic.
Wow.
Well, Elton has been through his own addiction and almost ruined his own career, so he's looking at his friend George and he's saying, hey, you got to pull it together.
Elton said he's not going to be happy until George Michael is knocking on his door in the middle of the night. Yeah, I bet. Oh, I'm sorry, begging to be sent to rehab. There's more to that. Oh, okay. More to that sentence. Well, George Michael's saying it's not going to happen. George, this is the greatest statement ever. There's nothing wrong with smoking crack cocaine and cruising public toilets for sexual encounters with men, George said.
Wow, that's refreshing.
George admits that he had crack on him when he was arrested in London last year. But he says he's done a lot of things he shouldn't have and over the years, but smoking crack is okay if you only do it now and then.
Hmm. Huh. That's an actual statement probably from him and not a PR person.
Yeah.
That sounds weird.
So George is unapologetic about smoking the occasional crack and also filling the one occasionally.
He does seem like one of those guys that you can point to the decline in his career when he got hardcore into drugs and he just wasted the whole rest. I mean, 15 years now are gone with George Michael.
I'll tell you, though, he just toured a small tour recently.
Yeah.
Yes.
My wife went.
And he brought it, right?
She said, we're going to George Michael. I said, enjoy that. She went. She said it was unbelievable.
Rave reviews.
But he still can bring it.
He was on American Idol. He came out and
doesn't want to.
Blew the audience away when he came.
When he needs to, he can do it.
Just doesn't want to because there's crack.
Here's that. When you got crack,
right?
You really don't want to do other stuff.
Here's a clip of George's new song. If you guys, I don't know if you've heard this or not, but
go ahead.
What?
Go ahead.
What? We're waiting.
Here's the new song.
Here's the clip.
George Michael.
Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant. Girl, you make me wanna get you pregnant.
I think he sounds good. I don't know what you guys are talking about. He sounds fine to me.
The words George Michael has never said.
Yeah, him singing to a girl. Let's
girl,
be honest.
You make me want to get you pregnant.
Sure. Right.
Yeah. Have you guys said?
How great is male ass?
Now there's George Michael's new single.
That's right.
A puff, a fairy, a queer, a queen, fudge packer, uphill gardener, fruit picking sodomite.
I'm sorry, an uphill gardener?
Uphill gardener. You guys seen Up in Air, the new George Clooney movie?
Yes.
No.
Loved it.
So good.
Looks good.
And Vera Farmiga is amazing. And one of my favorite parts of the movie, she is naked in his hotel room wearing his necktie as a belt.
Is that her, by the way? I wondered if that was a body double.
Well, funny you should ask, Lisa. Here's my story about that.
Okay.
She used a body double in that scene.
Yeah, I wondered.
Much to my chagrin. I was hoping that was her. But it turns out there was a reason. She had just given birth to her baby before filming kicked off.
Dumb bitch.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
And producers thought maybe her body wasn't in movie shape.
Because she was, you know, she's pretty curvy.
Yeah.
Producers, which is why she should have adopted.
Producer decided to use a butt double, she said, which was probably a wise choice because she also said she was breastfeeding and she wouldn't have wanted to wind up with milk running down her thighs in the scene.
not sexy. Okay.
Less information, please.
Not sexy. That's too much. Hey, Gene Simmons is here. Hey, Gene, how are you?
Yes, speaking of milky substances.
No.
All
right.
Come on.
All this right. is just filthy. This is.
Yes, I do respect wood.
Just filthy. Speaking of drugs and celebrities, John McEnroe and Patti Smyth. Yeah. You familiar with that couple?
I didn't know there were a couple.
McEnroe, of course, a legendary tennis player. Patti Smyth was the one-time lead singer for a band called Scandal.
I kind of
liked
in
the day. I did too. I always liked Scandal. Always liked her. From Philly, Patti was.
Oh well, then I don't like her.
I figured you'd say that. Yeah. They are very pro marijuana.
All right.
And they apparently are very public about wanting to legalize
that
said marijuana.
That doesn't seem like McEnroe for some reason.
Look, whatever mellows him out, I'm all for it.
True.
Remember how tense
That's
he used
real
to be?
Talk yes. right there, man.
Seems to be happier now. New York Post says that they were at a dinner party in New York City recently with a bunch of high-profile New Yorkers. And the conversation turned to legalizing marijuana. As the argument ensued, they showed their support of it by pulling out two joints and starting to smoke them at the table of the dinner party.
All right.
Good for you, John.
Huh. We're so high right now.
We're not low.
King of Mexico and I talked to Miss Smythe at the Grammys, and she's pro a lot of things. She's, yeah. she's very open, and she's very cool. She was way, way cool to talk to.
What else was she pro?
Man organ.
Oh, yeah?
She likes that a lot, and
That's
she was
good.
Open about that.
That's nice.
And she, by the way, she looks good. Yeah. She's a hot chick.
She was a hot chick back in the day.
And you have a lot in common, then.
And Morrissey's at it again. This has not been a good tour for Morrissey.
Nope.
But I would want to go because who knows who he's going to fight or whatever's going to happen.
It is like it's like a grab bag.
Yeah.
When you were a kid, you go to a birthday party, you just stick your hand in and pull out a prize. You didn't know what you're going to get. That's what the Morrissey tour is like. Problems again in Vegas Friday night. Ended his concert at the Hard Rock after less than an hour in because he said he was upset with all the vomiting and fighting in the audience. When is the Marcy crowd throwing up and fighting?
Well, they're in
Aren't
Vegas.
They usually just crying?
But yeah. they're in Vegas.
But they usually just get drunk
Did
and cry.
Did they run into the wrong show?
Well, maybe.
Then he canceled out a show on Saturday in Indio, California because allegedly he blew out his voice. Apparently his gig in Pomona, California is still on. This is as of last night. And he's scheduled to perform tomorrow night on the George Lopez show.
Oh,
wow. That's the saddest part of the whole story.
That is a good mixture right there.
Yeah, so that's what's up with
Marcy.
He has
to perform for a Mexican.
What's up with Marcy?
Right.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
He's going to be doing his new song.
Want some poppers?
That's right.
It's a great song. Today's celebrity birthdays. Ian Somerhalder from Lost and the Vampire Diaries is 31 years old. Dominic Monaghan. Lord of the Rings and Lost is 33. Sinead O'Connor is 43 years old today. Terry Hatcher, my Desperate Housewife friend, is 45 years old. And Kim Basinger celebrates her 56th birthday. She's 56 years old. She spent 54 years fighting with Alec Baldwin.
Yeah.
Isn't that true? Even before they met, they were apparently battling it out. Not a great divorced couple.
You're saying,
not one of those couples that they say, well, you know what, we're still close, close friends and we still love each other very much.
Yeah.
Not
Stay
one of those
friends.
Not like
couples.
To me more.
No.
At all.
No, not at all.
Why can't these whores just keep their big mouths shut?
Alec Baldwin there talking about Kim. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Brad Lane, who's the host of our new favorite TV show, Cannabis Planet.
Wow.
Got him tomorrow.
His audience is hungry for more.
That's what I hear.
That's a fully baked idea, that show.
They're hoping the ratings are high.
Oh, I hope he makes like a pot plant and leaves.
What are the chances this guy is going to be available and ready at the time we have an interview scheduled with him? Zero. But we're going to give it a try. You know, we didn't think we'd get Travis Barker today, but Cheese came through.
Yeah,
then we can call Cheese and line this guy up, too.
Cheese stands alone.
Also, tomorrow, your significant other accidentally ruins something really important to you.
So, so good.
Yeah, so.
That must happen all the time.
And there's a Santa school that they have where all the Santas go to learn how to be Santas, apparently.
Sure.
That Bean knows all about.
Oh, that's the big one.
Oh, yeah,
I know that one. That's the best of all the Santa schools. That
Charles
one you just
Howard,
mentioned.
It's legendary.
Hi. It's not legendary. Shut up.
It is. In the circles in which I travel, which is Christmas enthusiasts. The circle that you travel is in your home.
Pedophile.
Christmas enthusiasts. They are considered to be the creme de la creme of Santa schools. That's all I'm saying.
That's what I have the NAMBLA conventions.
They got the big Santa convention every year. Look, it's big time.
Take it easy.
I want to stuff you down a chimney.
Take it easy. Also, we have tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2009 in the pit. So make sure and join us. And another rousing rendition of
Would You Like to Take That Back?
Tomorrow.
That's the best of all the Santa schools.
It's an all-new Kevin and Bean show tomorrow morning.
First of all, don't be retarded.
All right. How about Cat Corbett coming up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music next? I know you've been demanding it. We've received your emails, your phone calls, your telegrams. Yes, we'll play some local H for you coming up.
We also got
some
telegrams?
We did. That's how passionate people are about local H.
Coming across the Morse code?
Come on, Professor Time. How about stepping it up a bit?
That was my point, is how crazy it is that people are so passionate about local H that they would send a telegram.
Pony Express rider just dropped off a message.
Also, the White Stripes, we got some Weezer, Rage Against the Machine, and more. Straight ahead, right after this on K-Rock.